you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I have one thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
We now return to America's Next Top Model.
I just don't think you're being fair, Tyra. You don't know what it's like to grow up the way I grew up.
You know what? How dare you? You don't know me. You have no idea where I come from, where I've been, how long I've been there, what I had to do to get from where I was to where I am now.
Isn't that insane? Was that not crazy?
And why does this delight the Negroes?
It's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! Shit is going down!
This is the single most evil thing I have ever experienced, and I've seen a lot.
Drivers! Start your engine!
And now...
This is so exciting, I wish I'd cared.
Bitch!
Whore!
Bitch!
Whore!
Bitch!
Whore!
Bitch!
Whore!
Our feature presentation.
How many times Lisa May says that?
Ouch.
This is so exciting. I wish I cared.
Yeah, no kidding. A lot of stuff you all talk about, though.
I wish I cared.
Yeah.
Lisa's doing a lot of faking on this show. That's the truth.
It is.
Well, that is true. She hasn't been real with us, I think, in a long time.
That whole sports thing, fake.
Yeah. You don't like sports?
I really fake that good, don't I?
Yeah. You have us totally fooled.
I'm practically an expert, and yet I don't care.
Seems like you know every single thing that goes, every play of every sport of every day. It's crazy.
I'm good.
What is it about sports you don't like, Lisa? Because there are a lot of women, even on this show, you know, that like sports.
I just think I didn't grow up in a household where anyone watched them. And so I just didn't ever learn to enjoy sports on TV.
Then you have homework.
Did you grow up in a household that went to plays all the time?
We did go to plays, yes, we did.
I thought maybe that was something you picked up as an adult.
No, as a child. Well, when I was a real little kid, my mom used to take us to children's theater.
Look what she did. See, people don't take your kids to children's theater. That's bad for them.
All right, let me put it another way. Did you have a lot of sex when you were like 5 and 6?
No.
Because you certainly grew up and learned to appreciate that as an adult.
I think that's a habit a lot of adults pick up as
adults. Did your family enjoy communism as you were growing up?
Were they a bunch of commies? I don't know.
No? Right.
Well, you should have been with Psycho Mike watching his beloved Rutgers women's basketball team get slaughtered last night.
Oh, tell me they lost.
They lost.
They certainly did.
Yes!
Psycho Mike, what happened to your girls?
They got dominated.
Yes.
they got abused.
I could not be more excited about that. Not that I care about girls' NCAA basketball, but Psycho Mike made me hate it. He's responsible for that. He would come in every day talking about Rutgers this, Rutgers that. And I would say, what are you talking about? And he would say, girls basketball.
I didn't even know this, Mike, but apparently Tennessee is like the best women's basketball team program of all time. They've won like 10 titles or something crazy like that.
They're the winningest NCAA basketball team ever.
And yet, don't care.
Yeah.
That's what's interesting about that. But you guys,
this was like the 12th national championship or something for their coach, Pat Summitt. Like something ridiculous. Like she blows men out of the water.
Wow.
I'm glad you said out of the water. How much did they get beat by?
A lot.
I think it was only like about a dozen, but it was one of those games. Didn't see it, but I understand it was one of those games like the Florida game Monday night where they were ahead by a dozen the whole game. I mean, the other team was never really close.
Right, and you got to remember, you can't put it in comparison to men's basketball because like a high-scoring game is like 60 points.
Yeah,
so
that's
they got
true.
Beat by a dozen, but that's, you know, in proportion.
Yeah, that's 30 like for men's basketball,
it's
right?
It's like a half a basketball for girls. So did you watch the whole thing?
No.
Did you watch any of it?
Yeah, I mean, I flip back and forth.
That's it. You tortured us, and then you flip back and
He's
forth.
He's like that with a lot of sports.
I hate him.
Remember?
He's like that with everything, isn't
he? The Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
He never watches a game.
Never watched a game, right.
No, I'm not like that with anything but NFL football. The Dodgers and the Lakers I watch.
Right.
I sit down and I watch the game.
But if you're going to come in here and you're going to talk to us repeatedly over and over and over again about stupid Rutgers, you better be watching every play.
I tried.
Otherwise, you're just torturing us
It's not
he
like,
tried?
It's not like the Cowboys.
He tried.
Because they're girls playing basketball. They're really not very entertaining or good.
that's what we've been saying.
But we do that ahead of time.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was just rooting for my team, and then I turned it on, and I realized those girls are not very entertaining at all.
Right.
Like, it's really, I'd much rather watch high school boys basketball.
And that was a shock to you.
Kind of.
Yeah, I don't mean to sound sexist, but for, you know, the difference between the two is
no.
Right, no, it's no doubt. They would destroy us. I mean, they are fantastic basketball players.
Because we're non-athletes,
in
right.
comparison to NCAA collegiate men, it's laughable.
But at least the Lakers won.
No, but at least the Dodgers... Oh.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Wow, so Mike had the trifecta last night.
At the end of the day yesterday, it was almost cyanide tablet time.
That's a bad 1-2-3 punch.
Do you think that all of those teams lost because you're a fan?
Well...
Would you say that?
The Rutgers girls, my hat's off to them. They tried their best, and more power to them. The Dodgers and the Lakers, I think, are purposely doing this to me because I could not run my mouth more about the Dodgers and the Lakers at work and at the gym. I mean, it's getting bad for me. I mean, Angel and Clipper fans, they might as well just kill me. I mean, I'm in so much money. Yeah, they're ruined. I'm in debt. And,
okay. Will the Dodgers ever win a game? I mean, is this the longest losing streak in Major League Baseball history, Mike?
Listen, you pompous prick.
Shut up.
You know, okay, the Mariners... are the worst team in the world.
Are 2-0.
There's 160 games left.
If the season ended today,
if the season ended today, you'd still be a prick.
See, this is why I hate baseball. Not because baseball's that bad, but because Bean makes it that bad.
It's 2-0. All Bean's fault. You'd love baseball otherwise.
And I recall...
Why are you the way that you are?
Well, I'm just saying...
Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way.
But they're 2-0.
I hate... so much about the things that you choose to be.
I'm just saying. Come on.
If a team has 100 and what'd you say, 60, 70 games?
160
games. You shouldn't be able to brag until like 80. Right? I mean, 80, 90 games
makes
in.
Sense to me.
Because then you really kind of start to know something.
Yeah.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and it makes sense on the surface, except that there are an awful lot of teams in baseball who get who jump out to a 7-game lead or something like that in their division and manage to hold it. And the later it gets in the season, the harder it is for the teams underneath them to claw back and make up that ground. If you've got a team that's winning pretty consistently,
okay, and that has some, and that has what to do with a team that's played 2 games.
I'm just saying 2-0, it's hard to be any better than that. That's the only thing I'm saying. And I'm saying when you look at Mike's Dodgers, 0-2, I mean, they might as well start thinking about next season.
God, I hate you.
That's my point.
I hate you, I hate baseball. And I hate baseball because of you. How does that feel?
Oh, that hurts me.
I recall at one point, Bean was mouthing off and had this to say, and I think we should have him live by this.
Baseball is dead to me.
I remember that.
I think we should have him live by that.
Yeah. Baseball is dead to me. That was a very painful... incident that had happened on the field that I that took me a couple of days to recover from. I
was couple of days
and beaten up.
Well, then baseball is only slightly bruised.
Baseball is dead to me. It was dead to me after that. I don't remember what that game was, but it was tragic.
About 2 months left in the season last year. The Mariners were mathematically eliminated from the postseason
because they blew.
They were like 30 games back of the leader in the West. And
let's not get crazy, but that was last year. I'm just saying this year.
Baseball is dead to me.
That's what I'm saying.
Is what I'm
baseball
saying.
Is dead to me.
All right. I hate you. I hate baseball.
Okay.
All
right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? It's Wednesday, the 4th of Aprilingus. And on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Hillary Swank.
Ooh,
yes.
Great.
Coming up in about a half hour.
Happened to see her on the Jimmy Kimmel Show last night?
Mm-hmm.
Are you asking? You're saying.
Yeah, I'm saying. Did you happen to see her on the Jimmy Kimmel Show last night?
No.
They poured her into that dress. I don't know how she could walk in that thing.
Oh,
she looked
really?
Unbelievable. Yeah, I think she's one of those divorce ladies who really like hots it up, just to kind of rub it in her ex-husband's face.
Hots it up. Look
That's
up,
okay.
Hots it up.
like when Britney, got super hot last November as she split up with her husband just because she wanted to say, see what you're not getting? I think that's what Hillary Swank is going through right
Didn't
now.
Didn't she just get fat, Britney?
Well, after that.
Oh, after that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she split up with Kayfabe.
Okay, all right. I thought she got fat right away.
No, remember when she went on Letterman?
Oh, Letterman. Okay, yeah. Yes.
With a little black dress. It was one of those kind of things where she walked out last night and Chad Lowe sitting at home going, damn!
Speaking of hot chicks, Rosario Dawson on the show today. She, of course, in Grindhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Comes out this Friday. We are going to talk about teacher pranks. I don't know if you saw this, but these stories are coming out fast and furiously, the teacher pranks. One of them, a little kid peed in the teacher's coffee. Like, that's not bad enough. Some other kid got, arrested for putting...
Was it Downy?
Downy, yeah. Fabric softener.
Yeah.
And their coffee. That seems bad.
Trying to soften the teacher to death.
Yep. So that's... we'll talk about that later on this morning. LaQuisha's going to be on the program.
Great.
Talking about Pussycat Dolls, which was on last night.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gay panda. We need to talk about that. Seen that panda story? It's ridiculous the things they're trying to get this stupid panda to do to have sex with a stupid female panda.
Hey, I got a question for you guys.
What?
Why can't they just clone pandas? They seem to be able to make as many sheep as they want. I mean, if we're having a problem with pandas going extinct, why don't they just make a thousand of them?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I got another question. How come they don't make them like horses? Where they just have, like, artificial vaginas and a guy gets a jar and...
I don't know that we need that kind of detail, well, but thanks for bringing it up. I
mean, artificial insemination.
No, I think that's what they had to do.
You haven't seen Jackass? Remember, that, they get the...
Oh, yeah. That's what they had to do with these pandas, because the panda, first of all, they would... I forget all the different things they had. They made him go on a diet because he was too fat.
Right.
Maybe I'm getting my stories mixed up.
Oh, you're right.
Same one.
Yeah.
Okay. So then they tried to bring in, to I think they put a bikini on the female panda, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's
try and
true.
Make her look more attractive, right? And then they tried
to get her a boob job.
Right.
Dyed her hair blonde.
Yeah, that didn't help. And then they tried panda porn, if I'm not mistaken. Uh-huh. I think that part is true.
That is true, yes.
They tried panda porn.
So they showed, like, movies of pandas having sex?
I guess.
Like, this is how it's done.
How come we can't get any of that panda porn? Where's that on the internet? We should be able to see some of that.
I don't know that I'd want to.
Yeah.
Ask Money, by the way. Former sports guy Money probably has that. He has it all. So we're going to talk about that on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, and also greeting cards for very difficult situations coming up this morning. And we found out that Psycho Mike, who is bad on every level, is now coaching little girls softball.
Yeah.
Whose idea was that?
Now, that's a team in my life that is not losing, by the way.
And if they do?
They're dominating.
Puppy
Lake.
Yeah,
if they do.
Well, yeah, there'll be, you know, some serious consequences.
That seems like a really bad idea.
They're afraid to lose.
Yeah, of
Poor
course.
Children.
As well they should be.
So we'll talk about that coming up at the 6 o'clock hour as well. And don't forget, you're listening for Muse, and you're listening for that Killers. Other band.
The Killers.
The Killers, thank you. Muse and the Killers. Every time you hear one of those songs, call in, win tickets to see them in concert, and we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz beat next.
Was the problem, Kevin, that the list of two bands to remember was too many?
Yes.
Is that what was going on in the last segment there?
Some people can get a tiny amount of sleep and pull it off.
Uh-huh.
Other people, like myself, when you're not sleeping well, it tends to shine through rather brightly.
That's true, because when you're rested, you are sharp as a freaking razor blade.
Thank you.
But when you don't have some sleep, you do lose your edge just a hair.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah, just a touch.
So we should just be happy you came up with Muse and not focus so much on not coming up with Listen for the Killers also to win
tickets. We're lucky he didn't drive to K-Earth. That's what we're lucky at.
You're lucky I came up with K-Rock. Is what I'm saying.
That's true. All right. Double Academy Award winning actress Hilary Swank stars in The Reaping. We'll talk to her after the news at 6. In the meantime, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Wednesday morning. Ralph, what's going on?
I don't think rape is funny. I don't think they should make a movie called The Raping. I don't think it's appropriate. I don't want to see that kind of violence against women in my films. I am not going to this movie.
That's Ralph. Not the name of the movie.
It's The Reaping. Not The Raping. The Reaping is what it's called.
What?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hello.
Soft-spoken Mexican in the background.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, the world continues to give Bean the finger.
Yes.
And I, for one, couldn't be happier.
Uh-oh.
This week, Jennifer Lopez had to do jury duty in Beverly Hills.
Oh, come on.
On Monday, J-Lo had to go into jury duty just like every other good American. She got her summons and appeared and did her duty. Because
she's a peer.
She is a peer.
To someone.
Yes.
Yes.
Unless Christina Aguilera is on trial, I don't think really Jennifer Lopez could be a peer. apparently she checked in, just like everyone else. Of course, she brought an assistant with her. And she got a little special treatment. She was allowed to stay in a separate room with a deputy while the remainder of the potential jurors had to go into the hall and wait in that giant holding pen they have there.
So the other potential jurors couldn't just come and bug her while they sat in the room, the waiting room? Is
exactly.
That what it is?
Yeah, I don't think she wanted to be harassed. And apparently after lunch, Jen came back into the courtroom in a completely different outfit. She changed costumes for jury duty.
You do have to change occasionally. That's true.
And she was allowed to leave after 2:30 when it was decided she would not be impaneled.
Bean, when you do jury duty, do you see celebrities like that? And are they usually separate from the group?
Not one time ever in my whole life, ever, have I received a jury summons?
Because I remember Kevin sat near Jason Schwartzman when he went to jury duty. Because in California, you do see celebrities from time to time.
Yeah, I went just like a month ago.
But Bean, you never saw any celebrities when you went to jury duty? Either here in Los Angeles or up there in
You know
Washington
that I've
State?
never had jury duty. But I can't imagine that somebody like Jennifer Lopez would ever be on the jury. I think it would just be too distracting for witnesses, for the attorneys. Don't you think that she would kind of be an automatic exception just because she's so high profile?
Yeah, I think whatever case it was, it would detract from the actual charges.
You would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Plus, not to mention, there's only, you got room for about 12 people in one of those jury boxes, you know?
Right, right.
And Jennifer Lopez, I mean, she's not a small girl.
Are you saying she's fat?
No, I'm just saying she's voluptuous.
Right.
And you think it'd be hard to get her into that little box where they keep the jury, into those seats. You think that it would be impossible.
Because she's overweight?
To fit her in.
Well, I understand what you're saying. It is an awfully tight fit, and 12 people in a little box. How do you suppose they're able to do it?
Well, I guess they decided, you know, when it comes to juries. There's always room for J-Lo!
Yay! Sweet!
Thank you so much. Courtney Love tells the London Sun tabloid that she's had another round of plastic surgery.
What'd she have done now?
Well, this time, Lisa, she went back under the knife to look more natural.
That's what happens.
Every time you go, just ask Michael. Ask you get Michael more Jackson. Natural looking.
Here's the thing. If you want to look natural, don't get plastic surgery.
Yeah.
I just didn't like the old nose job, she said. It went too far, so I went back to have it fixed to make it look natural again.
I don't think
they
you can do
rebuild
that.
Rebuild noses, really.
No. Unless they stick some silly putty under your skin there. It looks pretty much worse for
wear. Wow, I can't wait to see what she looks like now.
Apparently her lips are less puffy now, too. She had some lip removed or something. But
there you go. She has lost so much weight, you almost wouldn't recognize her if you saw a picture of
really?
An Allison.
Really?
Yeah. Just skeletal.
Wow.
Yeah, listen, Courtney Love's been doing unnatural thing with her nose for some time now. You know what I'm saying?
There may not be much left.
A straw in a mirror, but still. she's abused that privilege.
Sure.
Here's a great story. This makes me laugh. Joe Francis, creator of Girls Gone Wild,
right,
was sipping some mojitos at a hotel in Miami on Saturday night. And apparently there were some Brazilian models there on business. They were doing a photo shoot, but they were partying also by poolside. And this guy, Joe Francis, is not, what do we say, subtle?
It's not a wallflower.
When it comes to the ladies, or a wallflower, yeah. And apparently he was going a bit overboard in terms of his attention to one of the young ladies. Turns out this particular supermodel had her boyfriend with her.
Uh-oh.
This guy didn't cotton to his behavior and punched Joe in the head.
Nice!
Joe apparently had to be taken away by security and was worse for wear after the skirmish. Apparently the guy got a few good licks and Joe is a lover, not a fighter.
That's funny.
I think less there would be less Girls Gone Wild videos if more boyfriends punched Joe Francis in the head.
Oh, yeah.
You got to give Joe Francis, I mean, he's a scumbag and all that, but you got to give him credit for coming up with the simplest yet greatest idea ever, which is just to go where women are drunk and have them lift their tops and sell videos. I mean, it's just so simple. Why didn't we think of it?
It is. You would think, all right, people would be interested. You wouldn't think it would become a multi-million dollar empire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge. Boobs are good. I think that's what we're learning. Boobs are good.
Mariah Carey may be going the way of Angelina Jolie. She's looking into adopting, apparently.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey.
According to MSNBC, she is heading across the border into Mexico. Not going as far as Angelina has for her kids. Maybe she doesn't want to be bothered by flying around the world and collecting the whole set. Apparently, according to MSNBC, she has visited the Frank Gonzalez Orphanage in Mexico. Which, by the way, I love the name of that orphanage. How you doing? I'm Frank. How you doing? Hey, it's my orphanage. Come in. Pick one. Just take a kid. Make me an offer. I gotta move them. I stock them deep and sell them cheap. I'm Frank Gonzalez. Good night.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Yes, Frank Gonzalez did. Her peeps aren't talking about her personal life, so we can't get any confirmation from her representatives, but they say this is a for real deal, so.
Great. I will tell you what the good news is in that story is that apparently all American children have homes. There's not a single American infant out there looking for an adopted family, apparently,
nope.
According to these celebrities.
We're all done here. Yep.
They wouldn't give Mariah a baby.
No, they're smart here.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Is that what it is?
They got to find out some desperate kids who really need parents.
She's going to find out in Mexico they're not going to give her one either.
She's going to have to go farther south.
You're Mariah Carey, right? Okay, no.
So she has to keep going to countries where the rules are more and more relaxed as to what the qualifications are. They just pull out the video of her on TRL and they just go, well, I'm sorry, Miss Carrie, not today.
In the celebrity sex tape world, E! Online has reported that Creed frontman Scott Stapp has settled his invasion of privacy lawsuit with the X-rated film company that released that video of him and Kid Rock doing the four groupies on the tour bus.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, Scott's attorney would only say that the lawsuit over the incident was settled in Scott Stapp's favor, which I guess they gave him a couple bucks to go away. The company Worldwide Red Light District Video has agreed, however, to halt any further distribution of the X-rated footage, largely because no one cares.
Oh, yes, Scott Stapp. What's that you've been hiding in your trousers, your tight leather trousers? It looks like a big sausage. That's right, Kid Rock. It is a sausage. It's a spicy, spicy sausage. Come get some of this, groupie bitch. Oh, yeah. How do you like that?
Did it ever cross your mind to try to delineate the two voices at all while doing those
that
two characters?
That is actual audio from the sex tape.
I thought mics were there.
Right. My bad. I thought it was Psycho Mike.
How dare you?
Deciding just to go with the one voice for both characters.
How dare you?
Hey, speaking of Psycho Mike, what about the sex tape that you pre-ordered on the internet? Was it the Kim Kardashian video? Whatever happened to
superstar Kim Kardashian?
It's good.
Oh, it came and you didn't like it?
So no, I mean, it's just...
It came and you went?
The thing is that nowadays with the adult films being what they are, there's like 50 porn stars that are way hotter than Kim Kardashian that are doing way nastier stuff with way better camera angles. And
that's why I didn't order it. Why did you buy it?
But don't you like the whole thing with it being a celebrity that's not supposed to be on film?
I do, and that's good for one beat session. But
after what celebrity's in that video? That's what I want to know.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. You got Ray J and Kim Kardashian.
Right.
And we are at the bottom of the barrel of celebrity sex tapes.
When you realize she's really done nothing else besides make this adult film, and she's considering herself a celebrity, then she must be classified as a porn star. And in that classification, she's at the bottom of the rung. I mean, there's like I said, I could rifle off 50 other porn stars that I'd rather see, and I can see them in, you know, digital quality. So
you're happy you bought it?
So it's a letdown for the Mikester.
Sorry, Mikester.
Tell the Mikester we're sorry to hear the bad news.
Are you rocking a Mexican flag Dodgers hat? Is that what that is?
It's not at all.
Red, green, and white.
It is. It's the St. Patty's Day Dodger hat. This is what they really actually wear in spring training on St. Patrick's Day.
Really?
Yes. Oh. With the shamrock here.
I thought for sure it was for La Raza.
No.
The same colors.
No, one might suspect being here in L.A., but it is
one might.
The official St. Patrick's Day Dodger
hat. Well,
tell Mikester thank you for explaining that to
us. Thanks, Mikester. And they're officially out of things to make lists about.
Oh, we're at the bottom of that list, too?
Today, we've got the final list of any magazine.
Okay.
In Touch magazine has released their list of hottest guys named Matt.
Come on. That's just not true.
Hottest guys named Matt in Touch magazine this week.
Are there 10 famous Matt guys?
They're struggling, but they found...
I can think of three right off the bat.
Okay. Oh, can you, little Miss Smarty Pants?
Matthew McConaughey, Matthew Shepard, and Matt Leiner.
Matt Fox, Matt Damon.
Who's Matthew Shepard,
by
the way?
I was thinking Matt Fox from Lost.
Yeah,
I had the wrong name.
Oh, he plays Jack Shepard on that show. So apparently you couldn't think of three. You got 2.5.
All right, 2.5. I'll go with that.
All right, here's your top 10 list of hot guys named Matt. Number 10, Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah. He's hot.
He's hot.
Sure.
Apparently, and he's named Matt. More importantly.
In the Matt category, he's hot.
If they did top 10 guys named Ralph who was hot, I'd so be on that list. This is hardly really anything, any acclaim goes to these guys. What? Did something come up on the
screen?
That's
what I thought too, but I was afraid to say it. Matt Shepard, wasn't that gay dude who got dragged behind a truck or something?
Matthew Shepard was the guy in North Dakota.
Well, he was kind of hot.
Wyoming, yeah.
Yeah,
I was afraid of
that. Sorry about that.
Number 9 on the list, Matt Leinart. QB of your Arizona Cardinals there, Kevo.
All right.
Number 8, Matt Dillon.
No.
He doesn't even make the top 10.
Matt Dillon.
No, it's a list of 9 now.
Of course, the very handsome sheriff from Gunsmoke, Matt Dillon. That's what I remember.
Come on.
Matt Long is number 7.
Who's Matt Long?
I think he's a porn star. No, I'm kidding.
Come on.
He was in a series called Jack and Bobby. You remember that about the two kids who grew up to be president?
Yeah.
Christina Lotti was their
was
their mom.
He's not a celebrity, Matt.
He's Matt Long.
How does Matt Damon feel about being several spots behind this guy we've never heard of?
Number 6, Ryan Phillippe.
What?
I don't think I even get that.
His real name apparently is Matt. So here's guys who aren't even known as Matt are making the list. Ryan Phillippe.
Guys who know a guy named Matt.
Number five, Matt Davis.
Who's that?
I know who that is.
He's the former star of What About Brian?
That's bullshit.
Matt Davis.
Former star.
Well, this is not real.
Well, What About Brian's canceled. So,
it is?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Lisa. I'm breaking sad news to Lisa.
But damn it.
Matt Davis is looking for some work.
I like that show.
I'm sorry.
Liked. So we still have four more?
Matthew Perry.
Okay.
Okay. The legendary Friends sitcom.
Really not hot.
He's a Matthew. He's not a Matt.
But look at who we're going with this list, for God's sake.
That's what I'm telling you. It's so much easier when they're just grouping you by name rather than by hotness. Matt Dallas, who's number third on the list.
Again, who?
He was the star of a show called Kyle XY.
Okay, I've never even seen that show.
That's Disney, or Family, Fox Family or something.
Fox Family Channel. I think you're right, Psycho Mike. He was about some alien kid or something with no belly button.
Okay.
Good to know.
Kyle XY.
So now we're still in the Mats, but we're not in the Famous anymore.
I ran a movie called Kyle KY once.
Oh!
It was in the men's section.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh.
Number two, Matthew Fox, as Lisa mentioned, who plays, of course, Jack on Lost.
Well, she said Matthew Shepard.
Yes, she did.
I was mixing their names together. His on-screen name and his name.
And number one, as Lisa guessed, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, it's gotta be. Yeah.
Who does not like being called Matt, by the way.
Oh, really?
He called Matthew, yeah.
Wow, that's the lamest list ever.
Next
You're right.
Certainly is. Hot guys who like to be called Matthew. We're going to just narrow it down even further.
Next, that's probably number one on the top 10 list of the lamest lists ever.
It's the last. It's the last list. I'm telling you. They're out. There are other things to list. Happy celebrity birthday to the following actors and actresses. Craig T. Nelson, who, of course, was Coach Hayden Fox on Coach. He was in the Poltergeist movies, and he's really, really funny in Blades of Glory, if you haven't seen that yet, with Will Ferrell. He plays the coach in that movie. 63 years old today. He invents the, what's it called, the Iron Lotus.
That's right.
Most deadly ice skating move in the world. Spectacular. Christine Lottie, speaking of Bobby and Jack, she was, of course, on Chicago Hope as well, many other feature films. 57 years old today. David E. Kelly, currently nursing his wounds over the cancellation of his latest series, The Wedding Bells. He's 51 years old today. Hugo Weaving, who is Agent Smith in The Matrix and was really good as V in V for Vendetta. He is 47 years old today. David Cross, our comedian pal from Arrested Development, played Tobias in that show, is 43 years old today. Robert Downey Jr., who will be soon starring as Iron Man, popular comic book character in the major motion picture version of that. He is 42 years old today. Nancy McKeon, who played Jo, the lesbian, on Facts of Life. She's 41 years old today. And Magnus Svenningsen, bassist for the Cardigans, is 35 years old today. You know I love when we have a Cardigan birthday because we get a chance to revisit perhaps the best interview Kevin and Bean have ever done.
I think so.
Can we do that next hour since Hillary Swank is standing by?
Oh.
Hey,
how long
whatever.
Does it take to play
whatever.
Magnus
falling asleep in our
saying.
Studio?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that'd be a waste of 30 seconds.
maybe we could do
more baseball talk instead. Maybe we can trim back on the baseball talk, have more of the comedy in the showbiz beat. I don't know, just a suggestion. I'll put it in the suggestion box.
All right, very well done.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Do you have any kind of, I don't know, love music? Some kind of love theme? Some kind of...
You got a romantic story for us?
Romance, yeah.
By the way, I just want to mention for folks who were excited, as we were, about the great Hillary Swank, apparently rescheduled for tomorrow. So we will be talking to Hillary Swank ahead of the reaping. That'll be tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rosario Dawson coming up later, though.
Oh,
all right. I'm excited. I'm ready. What do you got for us?
That's nice. A story of love.
Patrick and Susan are in love.
Oh, I love stories that start like that.
Their love has produced four children.
Oh, how about that? Four kids. Mm, that's great.
Their love is also illegal in Germany.
Okay. Now you got my attention. Now Germany, isn't that pretty much the farthest out there as far as... You know, weirdness, porn.
Well, don't they have, like, the animal porn?
Yeah,
and
like
stuff
all
like
that,
that
kind of
yeah.
stuff. Isn't Germany,
the
like,
freaky stuff?
About as freaky as it gets?
So what do you have to do to have an illegal love in Germany is what you're asking. If you can marry a horse, what do you have to do in Germany that gets people's attention?
Because Patrick and Susan are brother and sister.
Nice!
No.
Brother and sister.
Not even first cousins.
Four kids.
Dude.
Not even first
Four
cousin.
Kids, five eyes.
At best, by the way.
Wait till you hear what happens.
People harass us all the time. Call us the incest couple.
Oh, those people are so cruel.
Why on earth would they ever drag out that ugly, ugly word to a brother and sister who are married and having kids? That's just mean.
That's not really cruel as much as it is descriptive
and accurate, right? Yes.
Patrick spent more than 2 years in jail for sleeping with his sister.
Now that I like, because they put him in jail in Germany for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
He gets back out and goes back with his sister.
That's his wife. He can't leave his wife.
Yeah,
to try to prevent a return to jail, Patrick and Susan are currently embroiled in a court struggle that has captivated Germany. The couple is trying to get their relationship legalized.
Yes.
All right. Many questions. Did you see this report on the news?
I did, yeah.
Was the sister hot?
No, God, no. Kidding?
Well, she could be. Lots of sisters are. So
yeah, but
none
that date their brothers.
So there's no excuse. There's no excuse that she's so hot I had to marry her even though she's my sister.
No.
Okay.
No.
But experts like Jürgen Kunze, a professor for human genetics.
Are all names bad in Germany?
Jürgen Kunze.
They are, right?
Say children from incestuous relationships are often born with disabilities.
Das von 100 Kinder.
Only 50% of children are healthy. 20% have brain damage, and the rest are born with massive physical disabilities, and many die, he says.
Okay, so those are the statistics on brothers and sisters having kids.
Yeah.
What about their kids, though? How are they?
They had 4 kids, I'm going to remind you, and now we're going to find out how they are.
Okay. The first 2 of Patrick and Susan's children were born with disabilities, legal documents say. Youth welfare services have taken all but 1 of their 4 children away from them.
Okay,
oh,
so
no.
This is an ugly enough situation that youth services stepped in, took kid 1, which was somehow had a third arm or something. Then they had another kid, so then youth services stepped in and took kid 2. So they had another kid. And
they just keep replacing them. It's like restocking the pond.
At some point, don't they have to stop complaining or fix them?
Yes. Right? They should fix them.
In Germany, I'm kind of surprised they don't just, you know, kidnap you, strap you down, and then you know, cut you.
Or let it go. One or the other.
The thing you can put in your arm for 4 years that I forget what it's called, but they could do that with her.
Sure.
And it's not permanent, but do something.
Right.
You can't just let them keep having kids.
They just wait. Then they have another kid, then they take them. And they have another kid, then they take it. Then they have another kid, then they take it.
Oh, my.
The first child just kind of happened. Then they took the second one away from us, so we wanted to have another one because we'd already lost so much, Patrick says.
Okay.
Okay, they're retarded.
I'd like to step in and say the kids don't just happen. There's actual scientific studies on that, and they can tell what causes that.
And
I'm with Lisa. There's something wrong with the parents here. Forget with the problems of the kids. The parents are troubles.
The parents is not. I don't remember if they say it in the story or not. I'll tell you afterwards about the parents. They're not really around for this.
Now they say all they want is to live like a normal family.
Right.
Either way, the couple says they hope German society will one day accept that their love is just as real and just as good as any other. Frederick Pleitgen, CNN, Leipzig, Germany.
Their love might be as good as any other, but their kids aren't.
No, they're not. They didn't meet as adults or anything. It wasn't a thing where they weren't
living together as kids. Apparently, they were separated by divorce or something, and mom was dying.
Okay.
So brother moved back into the house, and that's when they started. And then mom died, and then brother and sister kept living together.
Wow.
Fell in love and started having babies.
If a brother, as unpleasant as this may be, if the brother and sister met in this case, as you say, as much older people, didn't grow up together, didn't feel like brother and sister, fell in love, got married, and didn't have kids, who's getting hurt there, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. If that's what they want to do, whatever.
A brother and sister we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
we're not talking about cousins.
There's no victim if they don't have children.
If they don't have children and it's not like they have weird psychological hang-ups because they grew up together as little kids, then I don't know what the downside is. But in a situation like this, you got to take the kids away. You got to neuter and spay both members of this family.
And maybe Puppy Lake. Maybe.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's not...
That's so hot.
That's not hot, right?
Not hot at all, though. No.
I'm just saying maybe he's not the right guy to be coaching little girls. That's my point.
I'm just saying, who are you to point fingers?
He's not the guy that should be coaching girls softball. Psycho Mike.
Mike, You've been coaching boys until this season. What happened? How did you apply to be a little girls coach too, or what?
Just the first time we brought it up on the air, for those of you that are confused. But we've been talking about off the air a lot since he told us. He just dropped it on us like it was normal. Like, hey guys, I'm coaching little girls softball. We were like,
no,
what? And then he just walked away like we were going to go, hey, good for you.
Yeah. Well,
how is that a good idea?
Because I believe that children are our future.
Yeah, and so
let them lead the way.
Okay. Keep them from you.
I coached Little League last year. I did. I coached boys, and I loved it.
And that was really, really troubling.
I enjoyed it, and I was damn good at it.
But that was troubling, too.
Maybe in your eyes, but not to the little boys who I molded into young men. Young
but man. you mold them to be like you, though. That's the problem. That's the problem with whether you like it or not. You're what? Out there doing more than you're teaching the rules of baseball, Mike. You
What's
are
the
a
problem
role. You're
that?
A role model for these kids.
Uh-huh.
They look up to you and they try to be like you. And we don't need any more.
I'm not Charles Barkley. All right, I am a role model.
All right, but let me see if I can point out some of the things that are a little troubling.
All right,
you don't treat women with
yeah.
great respect.
Well,
I mean, you're not at the top of that list.
Okay.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay,
you
so that, that by itself really is troubling.
I guess.
Because these are little girls.
Right.
I mean, isn't your whole thing, Mike, about breaking down a woman to make sure she has low self-esteem so you can dominate her? That's not the message you want to teach little, 10-year-old girls, is that you should feel bad about themselves.
Bean, that system has worked for the Marine boot camp. For years.
Right, but
hundreds of years. Why can't it work for 9-year-old girls?
That's guys who sign up to be Marines.
Why can't it work for 9-year-old girls?
Because you're not training a fighting force. you're training young adults, basically. And you want them to have good self-esteem. Do you scream at them? I mean, are you a tough coach or taskmaster?
No, Bean, I don't scream at them. But if you hearken back to when you were a young man and your parents would get mad at you and you realize that the worst punishment was when they were just silent and gave you the glare and let you know.
Right.
Leave a lie.
Yeah. That's your parents, yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't have to raise my voice. I just let them know. You know what I'm saying? It's the unspoken heat.
So you make sure that the little 9-year-old girls live in fear every minute that you're going to bring out the belt, right?
How old are they?
9 and 10.
9 and 10. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's bad.
And if they live in fear, let them live in fear because
but they're 9 and 10.
In the words of Napoleon, often fear equals respect.
I don't think Napoleon was talking about 9-year-old softball players.
No, he was talking about the French militia, but Kevin, can't you see the correlation?
Okay, listen, we brought in some backup, Mike. It's not just Kevin and Bean saying this. It's not just Lisa. It's not just Ralph and Lightning and Alex and all the rest of us who have been begging you to resign your commission as the coach.
People on the street yelling, hey, don't be a coach to little girls.
What do you mean?
We actually have Mrs. Psycho Mike is on the line. Their beautiful bride, Jenny, is on the phone, and she's with us on this, too. So we need to bring her into the conversation. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning, everybody.
I think our goal here is to make you quit. To be honest, I mean, I want to tell you up front, we want you to step down.
Do you know what that would do to those poor girls?
Yes, it would raise their self-esteem instantly.
It would release them from hell.
But it would screw up their record.
Now, now Jenny, we're a little worried about Mike coaching little girls as his record of treating women, not exactly exemplary.
As you should. I understand that logic completely.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if he was coaching, say, adult women,
right?
I would say run for the hills, never going to work.
But what, he's all of a sudden going to be a great coach for 9-year-old girls?
Well, there's a couple things to consider in that, yeah, he's bad towards adult women. You know, he treats them poorly.
Okay, when you say that, let us get a couple of examples, if you don't mind. Because the listeners don't know Mike as well as you do, of course.
No, well, naturally. Well, he does make me wait on him like a small Asian woman make his tea. If he's in the bedroom, he screams at me just so he can I can turn the TV on him, adjust the volume, maybe turn the fan on, fluff his pillows.
Really?
Literally, this is not exaggerating. This is not just for
he
show.
Says, hey, come in here and turn on the TV.
No, I don't say that.
Knee, and then he'll just point.
I point at the TV.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Like I said, Kevin, the unspoken.
But why don't you turn it on?
Because she's my wife.
Because you have a woman.
Yeah. Now. He search for the remote control, which is a foot away from him.
Oh.
Next to him in the bed.
Do you throw it at him when you find it?
Occasionally.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Hey, Jenny, let me ask you this. You heard I mentioned to Psycho Mike that our impression is that he only likes women to have low self-esteem. He likes to break them so that he can dominate them. That's true, right? I mean, that's really what he does with women, right? He doesn't like to have a relationship on equal footing where it's a, you know, a woman is worth as much as a man.
Completely.
Wow. Okay.
Tell us about the time. Didn't he call you, how did he refer to you, a stupid whore?
Oh, never. Never.
Was it Valentine's Day?
Well, yeah. The word whore was, I would never call my wife a stupid whore. Never.
Oh, yeah, his card.
Okay,
yeah,
what was his card on Valentine's Day?
That he thought was so funny. It said, he sent me a bouquet of chocolate-covered strawberries to my office and then said, these are for you and the other desperate whores in your office or something like that.
You and the other desperate whores, meaning you're one of them.
You and the other.
I said, like, hey,
share these with the other desperate and needy whores.
Other, yes, for me, your wife is one of them. Better.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, just because we discussed the hatred I have for Valentine's Day.
So, like, so you wanted to make sure that your wife didn't think for one second on Valentine's Day that she deserved those strawberries and flowers, right?
Right.
No, he was just doing it out of obligation, and he wanted to make that very clear.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Hallmark had a gun to my head. That's the truth.
What about these poor little girls? I mean, you were a 9-year-old girl at one time, Jenny. I mean, what would you make of a guy like Mike and the lessons that he's trying to teach?
Well, these are a couple strange things you have to think about when it comes to Mike.
Okay.
Is that being that he's horrible to adult women,
right?
He is in a lot of ways like a 9-year-old girl, where he likes to shop. You know, he likes animals and that kind of thing.
It's, hey, Jenny?
Yes.
That's called gay.
Gay or, you know, Mike.
Gay or Mike.
In a way,
okay.
They're kind of synonymous with each other.
New gay, gay or Mike.
Okay. Pretty interchangeable. I like it. Hey, let's take Jay real quick. I know we don't have much time, but Jay is calling from Rancho Cucamonga, and he has a thought on Psycho Mike teaching the Little League girls. Jay, go ahead. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May. How are
you? Jay, good.
You're going to end up with clock tower killers if you keep beating the emotional, you know, the emotions of these little girls.
Yeah, little 9-year-old girls, I would think would need, like, emotional support and things like that, which you would be ill-equipped to provide.
Did you guys ever hear the album Welcome to My Nightmare, Alice Cooper? You end up with Steven.
Okay. All right, so that's
thanks for that very relevant reference, sir.
Yeah, that's the most obscure reference of 2007, but thank you for the call. So just real quick before we go. So, Mike, when one of your girls strikes out or makes an error on the field or something like that, what do you do? How do you handle it? What's the teaching method there?
Before you tell us your answer, 9-year-old girls do that a lot.
Yeah, they do.
They're not great at softball at that point.
Well,
so this is tested a lot.
My team doesn't strike out as much as other teams.
Because what do you do when they strike out?
Because they get the look from first base. I raise the eyebrow. And I turn just a little, just tilt the nose to the side, raise the eyebrow.
And what does that mean?
And that means you put your head down and go back to the bench. No words said. Then, come Monday, come practice, you're going to the hurt box. And we can't talk about that.
Hurt box? What's the hurt box?
Psycho Mike can't talk about that.
Jenny, do you know the hurt box? Does he put you in it?
I've never heard of the Hurt Box.
Oh, no.
Well, you're going to go there.
You're going to have to go to the Hurt Box if you ever plan to have children with this man. You know that, right? It is Wednesday morning, time for a Cheng Cheng update. What do you got on my favorite panda?
Cheng Cheng and Linhu? Linhu? I don't know how to say the name. These are the pandas that are in Thailand. I guess they rented them from a Chinese zoo. Is that right? I'm not sure.
That's my understanding,
yeah.
They're trying to keep their panda exhibit open and thriving. And, of course, pandas, it's notoriously difficult to get pandas to give birth, to conceive and get pregnant. I mean, even in the wild, it's not just a zoo thing. They just don't do it all that often and don't have a lot of babies. And consequently, we're down to something like 1,500 pandas around the world. I mean, that's it.
Now, this is the same story. This is the same panda that was too fat to have sex. That's remember right, that they were afraid he would crush her, so they put him on a diet so that he could actually lose enough weight to have sex. Now,
he's the John Goodman of pandas, this poor panda. Like, no woman wants to be under that.
So then first they did the diet. Then he was still not interested in having sex with her. So they showed him panda porn. Now, I thought that was a joke. Apparently it's not. They showed him videos of the pandas having sex.
They thought he didn't know how to do it, I guess.
I guess. And that failed to get him interested. So now they're taking extreme measures, and it looks like they're going to artificially inseminate.
Well, they do that a lot, right? With other kinds of animals?
I don't know how often they inseminate.
Artificially not pandas, but I mean, other animals like bulls and stuff? Or not bulls, but never mind.
I don't know. I don't have information on that.
All right.
Well, why don't we ask Cheng Cheng? Because we actually, it's hard to imagine that producer Lightning was able to line him up. But Cheng Cheng is on the phone from the zoo in Thailand right now. Cheng Cheng, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, my friend.
Hello.
No, you still sound so fat.
I have extra weight.
You what?
I have too much extra weight.
Too much extra weight. Okay.
I'm trying to get slim for swimsuit season, but it's not working so well.
So the diet didn't work, and you're still fat?
I mean, I look better.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have a six pack.
You don't have a six pack.
You're a bear. I don't think you're really expected to have a six pack.
I have a keg.
Plus, isn't there just one female panda there as well? I mean, what are her choices?
She's very nice.
Lin Hu, you like her? You guys are getting along?
But I like her as friend.
As friend?
Just as friends.
I don't like her in that way.
Oh, so she's ugly?
No, she's just... How do I put this? She smells like old bamboo shoots.
Oh. Well, she
down
is a panda.
There. Down there.
Oh, I think we understand.
Down there.
I think we get it. Yeah.
By the way, Kevin, how can a panda be ugly? Aren't they all identical? Have you ever seen pandas that you can even tell apart?
All I know is when humans say, I like her as a friend, come on. What does that mean?
I don't swing that way.
Oh.
I would enjoy another Chang Chang instead of Li Lu.
Have you told them that you're not interested in her because she's a female panda?
I dropped hints, but they're not picking up on this.
Is that right? Oh.
I told them I keep voting for Sanjaya.
Right.
They don't understand.
That's code for gay panda?
I told them I'd like tickets for the Fall Out Boy concert.
Right.
But they don't get it.
They don't get that.
They don't get it. Yeah, references are lost.
Do I have to come out?
Well, yeah. I mean, have you tried...
Come out of the cage?
Have you tried telling them that you're gay?
I'm afraid to. Because it's hard being a gay panda.
Is that right?
There's not a lot of acceptance in the panda community.
Yeah, I imagine.
Oh, I see.
I don't know.
Especially
you.
When you are fat. It's hard to get dates as a fat gay panda.
Is that right?
I never thought I would hear that sentence. Hey, Chang Chang, you know, part of the problem here is they're trying to keep the species alive. They need baby pandas, so at some point... Well, because you guys are going to be extinct here within a generation if you don't continue to have cubs.
So what?
Well, I mean...
What good are pandas? You can't
love
eat
pandas.
Them? You don't wear their coats?
Well, no, but that's not the
only
use...
The only thing we do is keep down the bamboo supply. Is that a real problem?
Are we overrun
with bamboo everywhere? Oh, I'd like to drive down Hollywood Boulevard, but I can't. There's too much bamboo growing on it. Where's the victim?
I think it's just that pandas are among the most popular animals at zoos, so places like, you know, the San Diego Zoo is famous because millions of people come every year to the zoo just to see the pandas.
Screw them. I need to be looked at by you.
Well, you're being a little selfish, don't you think?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's about time. So, pandas unite.
How do you feel about
them?
No. I don't like the sound of that. How do you feel about them taking your sperm and artificially inseminating your girlfriend there and trying to have a baby that way? Are you against that?
I did not give my permission to take my sperm.
Okay.
I did not say, hey, come over here, give me a hand.
Did they take it against your will?
In the middle of the night, I'm sleeping, having nice dream about a bamboo shoot.
Right.
In my hiney.
Right.
Next thing you know, I wake up wet and sticky.
Come on.
And you try to get that stuff out of panda.
Come on! Stop!
There's not enough OxyClean in the world.
You know OxyClean?
It's a pretty smart panda.
In Asia, it's Occidental Clean.
Well, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but it's raining in the OC.
I know, it's crazy. I gotta tell you, the traffic is a nightmare. The 405 is jammed. The 5, the 710, they're all gridlocked.
Stay safe, stay dry, and let's all pray for sunshine.
Stay safe, stay dry.
Kevin makes Lisa look like Helen Mirren.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but it is raining in the OC.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
How many years ago was that?
How popular the OC television show was before Kevin did that voiceover. Then look what happened.
I single-handedly killed it. Listen, I can't act.
That's my announcement.
Stay cool, okay. Stay dry, and be careful out there.
There's some lines like that that are written poorly, and
yeah,
it takes,
tough to say.
It takes an actual actor to pull that off, and I can't act if the lines are good.
Okay, what about Rockstar?
That's true.
Just as bad. I mean, worse even. Worse.
6:57 Wednesday morning in the Kevin DeMean Show. Coming up after the news, by the way, maybe the hottest woman in the world in terms of a total package, in terms of the personality and the looks and the sense of humor, Rosario Dawson, ladies and gentlemen, joins us coming up after the news from the new Grindhouse film. Right now, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. Go ahead, Ralph.
Let's take a look at the top 10 TV shows from last week, shall we? The Nielsen ratings are out, and no surprise to many of you, American Idol takes the one and the two slots. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, American Idols, we're number one and number two.
By as much as it's still as
Yeah, it's still a monster show, even though it's horrible this year.
You know, last night was a pretty good episode, Ruff. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. Yeah. I thought there were some real good performances last night. Kevin, did you vote for Sanjaya as you claimed you would?
Boo!
So no.
I guess not.
No, I forgot. All right. I don't watch the show, so it's kind of hard for me to set a timer or something so that I remember to call during... Do you have to call during the show?
At the end of the show.
End of the show.
Yeah. 2 hours after the end of the show. That's a tiny, tiny window to try to remember to pick up the phone and call, I guess.
Well, it is for a show you don't, watch.
CSI was number three. Number four, Dancing with the Stars. The Return of House was good enough to make it number five at the in the ratings last night, last week, rather. Did you see House last night, though?
Yeah.
No.
Not yet.
That show's so good.
Is it the best show on television? It just keeps getting better. Unbelievable last night. Dancing with the Stars was, again, number six. Then Shark, Law and Order, Till Death, the Brad Garrett sitcom over on Fox, was number nine. And the NCAA Championship semifinals on CBS were number 10. Speaking of television, you watching Showtime's The Tudors about Henry VIII with John Rhys-Meyers?
I saw that was on this past Sunday, right?
Yeah.
For the first time? I didn't see it, no.
Huge numbers for cable.
Really?
Yeah. 870,000 people tuned in for the first episode by pay cable standards. That's a smash hit. Okay. A lot of people are interested in that. And also, another show that's doing big numbers on basic cable is this Planet Earth miniseries. Have you been watching that at all?
Discovery
Channel.
Wow.
Tell
me about it.
Fascinating.
Every day I come in and Bean and Lisa are talking about that.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Fascinating show. It took them 5 years to film. Over 200 locations around the Earth, they shot this film.
What channel is it on?
Discovery.
Discovery.
Yeah.
What's amazing about it is every episode, there's, am I lying, Ralph, if I say a half a dozen things that have never been filmed before?
Yeah, well, no
That's
one's
what's
ever.
Amazing.
I mean, they've set up cameras all over the world, and they just let them run for about 2 years and came back and said, okay, let's see what we got. And they've got things that, because there's no human presence there, these animals are doing things in the wild that has never been seen before by humans.
Suck to be an editor on that show, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of footage to sift through. That's why it took them 5 years.
I wanted to mention also The Shield premiered last night, the new season.
Well, good timing, Lisa. Why don't you tell us yesterday, for God's sake?
I didn't know either.
A day late, a dollar short, aren't you?
They'll replay it.
I love that show.
Yeah. Sadly, I don't watch the show and knew it was on last night. I'm sorry.
Thanks for the heads up,
dude. You're
worse
than me.
Thanks for the help.
Well, Bean, here's a little something for you.
Oh, good.
Barry Manilow has introduced his own signature brand of wine.
Oh, no.
You can now get Barry Manilow Chardonnay. Barry Manilow, Pinot Grigio, Merlot, Cabernet, Sauvignon Blanc, and Zinfandel.
They didn't give all the wines like catchy names to go with the songs or anything like that?
As far as I know, it's not Copacabana Chardonnay or anything.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that.
You know what Barry Manilow's favorite wine is?
I couldn't be less interested.
My records aren't selling anymore.
Okay, now I'm interested.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Stop notch gay. His last two apps have been only number one and number two on the charts.
Oh, shut up!
I'm just saying!
How can you consistently talk about things we hate?
Ladies and gentlemen, Barry Manilow.
I'm just saying, don't be hating on Barry.
Since I'm personalizing the Showbiz Beat this morning, I'd like to send this one out to Psycho Mike. Okay. A couple in Sweden is trying to convince local officials that their baby daughter should be legally allowed to be named Metallica. The Swedish National Board has refused to allow them to register Metallica as the girl's name.
They get to reject
names? Apparently in Sweden you have to okay your name for your child with the Swedish National Tax Board.
There are several countries like that where you have to actually get the names approved because they don't want nonsense like this.
An official reportedly said that Metallica is an ugly name for anyone, especially a girl.
Come on.
They don't like the name because of the association with the band and also because it contains the word metal. Because they have very strict standards over there in Sweden.
Fascist.
Yeah. They're appealing to a higher court there in Sweden, trying to get their legal right to name their daughter Metallica. They'd like to travel outside the country.
Right.
But they can't get a passport for the baby yet because they can't get their name made official. So they're dying to take a trip abroad with baby Metallica, but they can't get a sign off.
Can they call her something else? And
yeah,
just,
they could. Can they just nickname her Metallica?
Metallica, yeah.
Plus, if they call her Metallica, the odds are Lars will sue them. So it's probably a good idea that they avoid that completely because they will end up in court. And it was all over the news yesterday. You know, left and right people dying in Iraq. The planet is boiling. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
But on every local newscast, I flipped around. The lead story, Keith Richards snorted his dad. I'm not kidding you. They were teasing it last night on the Fox News. And what did this Rolling Stone do to his father?
Well, that
story. 2-11.
That story's the best story ever.
But I'm just saying, leading off?
Yes.
On the local news? For those of you who haven't heard yet, news came out yesterday that Keith Richards reportedly took his dad's ashes when he died at the age of 84 years old, ground them up, and snorted them with a bit of cocaine. My dad wouldn't have cared. It went down pretty well, and I'm still alive. The Rolling Stone Keith Richards reportedly said. Then yesterday, his peeps came out and said, oh, he was just kidding. Keith was just having fun, and you people all bought it.
Really?
Well, that's what they're saying. I think it's their way of
saying, no one would
be surprised.
Oh,
our boss is insane.
Yeah.
He does crazy things that we have to apologize for all the time.
Every single person in the world goes, nope, Keith Richards, believe it. I believe it.
Yeah.
Started absolutely. His dad.
Absolutely. And the greatest news story by far. Maybe the greatest entertainment news story ever.
Wait a minute. You just finished with Keith Richards.
Who did I finish?
That guy, the Rolling Stone? Snorting his dad.
Yes, that pales in comparison to this.
No way.
Just released this morning, just announced. Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
Just about to start the sequel to National Treasure.
No.
Yes.
Oh, how happy are you, Rob?
National Treasure, Book of Secrets. We'll start shooting in Washington, D.C. shortly, so we have that to look forward
what
to.
What was that? What was National Treasure? It was him.
He was a treasure protector.
I know, but what was it?
He was trying to find there was special writing on the Declaration of Independence that led to a clue to a treasure.
Okay.
That was put together by the Founding Fathers.
So there's another treasure
to
now?
To save it, he had to take it.
He had to protect it.
He's
more of a treasure protector.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. No, he's more of a sequel participator.
He is a bad actor.
How dare you? Oscar winner Nicolas Cage?
Yes, he has been great in some movies before, but lately he's just a parody. And yet he is now an enormous box office sensation with movies like National Treasure and movies like The Ghost Rider. And now he's coming back with a sequel. I mean, it's working for him.
He's got Next coming out soon.
Yeah, I love the name of that.
Next.
That's
how he shoots his movies now.
Yeah.
Which one do I want to do? All right, next.
Right. Set up a camera and just roll. Today's celebrity birthdays, a bunch of celebrities born today. We're running out of time, so I'll just give you the highlights. David Cross, one of our favorite actors, comedians. He was, of course, Tobias on Arrested Development. Remember, he joined the Blue Man Group?
Oh, yeah.
Funny stuff. 43 years old today. Hugo Weaving, who was Agent Smith in the Matrix movies, also V in V for Vendetta. He is 47 years old today. And Craig T. Nelson, for many years, played Coach on the TV series Coach. He was in he was the dad in the Poltergeist movies and can be seen currently in Blades of Glory with Will Ferrell. He's 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show his beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. The red...
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, whatever, jumpsuit. Whatever.
Apparatus.
Yeah, that's fascinating all, but Rosario Dawson is on the phone. God damn it. How
do you talk about
anything else? Grindhouse opens up on Friday. Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez, having both of them on the show in the next few days here on The Kevin and Bean Show, but we couldn't be more excited to welcome actress Rosario Dawson back to the program. Hey, Rosario, welcome. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, we're fine. You know, I know Kevin Smith in that famous interview said that you were the hottest geek on Earth, but I think you just may be the hottest woman on Earth. I don't think I'd say just geeks.
Thank you very much.
So let's talk about the Grindhouse. Spent a little bit of time in a car, did you?
Yes, I did. Quite a lot of time. You know, Grindhouse is the double feature, Robert's film, and then there's the fake movie trailers, and then Quentin's film. And Quentin's is, Robert's is more the gory film, and Quentin's actually sort of like the slasher film, but with the car.
Right.
So it was really exciting, actually, because the first half of it, you know, it's Kurt and all these girls, and it's really messed up, and then you see what the whole movie's about. And then it gets really scary, and then you get introduced to the group of girls that I'm with. It's Tracy Toms, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Zoe Bell, who actually is a stunt woman playing herself. She was a Uma Thurman stunt woman in Kill Bill. Bill and myself. And it was amazing because I got to be in the car doing all these incredible stunts with some of the best stunt drivers in the world, just flipping cars, doing all crazy types of 360s. And I got to be in there all the time. As long as I was quiet and had my seatbelt on, a lot of the times they were like, eh, she's already strapped in. Let's go.
Wow, do it again. Do it again.
I tried. I wanted so badly, though, because there's this stunt that Zoe does, which really, like, my expression on my face when I'm like, what is she doing, is real, because I'd only known her as an actor up until that point.
Right.
And all of a sudden, she turns around, and she's like, hey, Abby, check this out. And she climbs out of the side of the car and slides down the hood, and you're like, what are you doing? And it's driving 70 miles per hour. She is insane. She's amazing. She's,
wow,
she's won two stunt awards for a reason. This woman's incredible.
Unbelievable. And you know what I found fascinating? I didn't even realize this until I saw you on Conan, the Conan O'Brien Show this week, is that they were true to the era that they're kind of paying tribute to here with these movies, and wouldn't do green screen, special effects, CGI. Everything you see up on that screen really happens, right?
Yeah, I mean, in Robert's film, there's a lot of, you know, crazy special effects, because his is like, you know, makeup and like crazy stuff. It's zombies and whatever.
Right.
And Quentin's is doing, you know, the main character in a lot of the actual, you know, Zoe actually is playing a stunt person. Kurt Russell's playing stuntman Mike. It's talking about stunts. It's talking about, you know, crazy people being paid a lot of money to throw themselves down stairs and do stupid stuff. And he's trying to, in this homage that he's making, he's doing several of them. He's doing an homage to great car chase films. He's doing an homage to great horror films and slasher films. He's creating great female roles. He's even talking about making throwbacks to his own films with the Reservoir Dog shot that we do, you know. But at the same time, he's also wanted to do, you know, a really great film about stunt people. He specifically wrote this for Zoe to be, you know, on this hood of this car and show people, like, this is what these people do. No CGI, no special effects. This is this woman being this crazy and, like, doing this. And, I mean, after walking out of Fight Club, I wanted to be Brad Pitt when I grew up. I'm like, scratch that. I want to be Zoe Bell when I grow up.
I don't think you could ever be Brad Pitt. I have to be honest.
I can try, man. I can strap my boobs down.
I don't see that happening.
Oh, what a waste that would be. Hey, tell me about the great Kurt Russell, because Quentin is awesome that he saw what Kurt Russell has been doing in the last few years and said, man, it's time to bring back the badass. Like, where's Snake? He looks like he's having so much fun in this movie.
Absolutely. You know, Kurt's been, you know, making movies for a very, very long time, and he just was so enamored with Quentin, just like all of us. He really was just, like, so blown away by how incredible he is and what he was giving him to work with, and Kurt really does an incredible job with it. What he does in this movie, you realize no one else could have played this part. He's absolutely incredible. He's so charming and so sweet in the beginning, and then the hairs go up in the back of your neck when he starts really, when he just flips, and then he transforms again into this cowardly lion, and you're like, how do you do that? We would all sit of all of us, the stunt, the crew, everybody, we'd sit there and watch his dailies over and over again and just, like, amazed, because he's so incredible. He's the best storyteller, incredible laughs, that gut belly laughs that come out of him. And then, you know, I was studying used cars to get down, you know, the salesman pitch that I had to do in one of my scenes so that I could, you know.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
You went as good as him. So I'm, like, watching his old movies in order to figure out how to do my own job. It was amazing.
Oh, I see. You mean the movie Used Cars.
Yeah, the movie Used Cars.
I thought, because I was thinking you were going to, like, used car lots and guys' heads would explode.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here to do some research.
You know, we talked a lot about Clerks 2 at the time that came out. I really thought that was one of the funniest movies that came out last year. It was fantastic. And you were so adorable in that film. And I was just thinking, as I thought about you describing Quentin Tarantino and being on the set with him, what a difference working for a guy like Kevin Smith, who's so laid back, and then a guy like Quentin Tarantino, who's so hyper. It must be a totally different set.
Actually, you know, in a lot of ways, they're very similar. They're really good friends, you know, and they're both, like, completely enamored with films and just hugely passionate about it. Great storytellers, great writers, you know, and Quentin is such a joy to work with. I mean, he can definitely, he obsesses over his stuff. He can be very controlling. He doesn't show anybody the script till it's completely, completely finished. Like,
right.
The final draft, you know, and when you, during his dialogue, it's like, don't think you can write it better than him. You know, you better get it all down. Don't even think about changing a duh. You can add a couple F words. So it's all right. But otherwise, you know, you better have a good damn reason to change a line. You know,
he really sweats
over it, and it's amazing. Like, there's a scene in the movie where it's the four of us sitting at a diner, and it's one shot. You know, the Reservoir Dog shot that we were kind of paying tribute to, mm-hmm. in the shot, in that movie, there's cuts. There's no cuts in this one. It's over 7.5. It's like, that's about 7.5 minutes long, this take. And it's unbelievable.
Oh,
especially with someone like Zoe Bell, who's never acted before. It's unbelievable when you watch it and you realize it's one take. And that's, I mean, to have that kind of filmmaking and, like, acting in a movie like this is, again, such a testament to him. He can make it mesmerizing to watch John Travolta and Sam Jackson talking about, you know, rubbing feet and,
sure.
and Burger King. You know sure. what I mean? Yeah. Like, he has the ability to do that. And that's exciting to have, to, as an actor, to be able to work with that as well. You know, I had so much fun, you know, just kicking Snake Plissken's ass and doing crazy stunts and 360s in a car. But ultimately, just being able to just ruminate and work on that dialogue was just a pleasure. I've been wanting to work with Quentin since I was 16 years old, and he just does not disappoint. He's lovely.
I got to tell you, we're on the phone with Rosario Dawson. I was going to ask you originally if Quentin Tarantino, his energy level wears you down. We've had him on. We've interviewed him several times, and he just, he's so energetic and peppy and passionate. It seems like you would want to give him a some kind of a downer or something just to calm him down. But I think perhaps you might tire him out.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. We're motor mouths. I think we make people dizzy when we have a conversation.
Right. I can imagine.
Well, I sure wouldn't want to be the actor sitting around that table, by the way, at 6.5 minutes into that 7-minute scene and screwing up a line and having to start the whole thing over if it's one take.
No, and actually it was really incredible because, you know, originally he didn't intend to shoot it that way, but because we had the dialogue down so well, he scrapped an entire day's worth of work and was like, let's just do it all in one take. And we did it in half a day. It was so quick. And, you know, we had to be so, as much as the dialogue just kind of rolls off our tongue and it just seems like, you know, we're all really friendly with each other. We worked on the material so much and it just comes off very natural, but it's all completely scripted. It's
That's
all
cool.
Quentin's dialogue. And we had to keep exactly to the letter because, you know, we have the entire crew that are changing and moving the camera angle around us dependent on our sentences, so we couldn't improv. So it's really, that probably will be studied because it's a beautiful thing to be able to achieve in a movie, and especially in a movie like this. And I think for me personally, because I'm a huge movie fan myself, and I love what they're trying to do by putting out two movies for the price of one, saying people don't wait for it to come on DVD, go to the theater and watch it. Like
right.
I love that they're interacting with their audience in that way. That is so powerful to me. But also with the movie that they're doing, it's like, we're going to do horror movies, we're going to do a throwback to old Grindhouse, but it's not going to be a remake like Hollywood does. It's not going to be cheap, it's not going to be lame. It's going to be the best of the best, by the best, and it's going to prove to Hollywood and just show them that they have no excuse for not writing really smart, really well done films with incredible female roles. There's no excuse for Hollywood not doing that better.
I can't tell if you're happy about this or not.
I think she likes it.
Right,
it looks
twice for this movie. Like, Quentin didn't give me this part. I had to audition twice for this. I was rabid to be in this movie.
Are you kidding?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. I fought hard to be in this movie. Tracy and I worked on it for ages. I was like, wow. We were watching all his movies, just going over the dialogue over and over again. She was practicing Sam Jackson's pimp laugh. We went in there and we sold ourselves hard. And every single day on set, literally, we're just like, we're in a Tarantino movie. Like, how incredible. These guys are so young. I mean, we wouldn't have 300. We wouldn't have Snakes on a Plane if it wasn't for these guys. Like, they're so early on in their careers and the effect that they've had on Hollywood, like Uma Thurman, John Travolta, you know, Antonio Banderas, Salma Hayek. These are all people that they helped to put into the forefront. They've changed cinema so much, and they're so young, and they have so many more films to do in their career. Like, imagine the movies they're going to be putting out in the next few decades. It's insane.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm telling you, I love your enthusiasm for this, and it looks like the most fun day at the movies ever. It opens up everywhere on Friday, the double feature, plus, of course, you can't leave in the middle because you got those commercials for other movies we wish they'd one day make. It's called Grindhouse. It looks amazing. Rosario Dawson, always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, absolutely.
Thank you, bye now.
I don't think it's crack at all. I just think she's excited about the movie. That's what I'm saying. She's just enthusiastic.
Okay.
That's the point.
Maybe. We were talking about the crack of her ass, Bean. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, okay, good. Hey, it's Kevin Beach on K-Rock. It's Wednesday morning. You know, I was in Kansas on vacation a couple weeks ago, and I made a point to visit the Hallmark Cards Factory in Topeka, which is just a phenomenal place. You know, that's where they make the greeting cards. And
I got a tour. Hate greeting cards. Hate.
Do you really?
I hate them.
All cards?
Well, no, it's you go to buy a card, and yeah. There are 5 million cards there in front of you. You can't find one that represents what you think. Can you?
Well, that's why they write so many.
Five million. Well, why don't they get a few better people to write a few fewer? They could just put out 10.
It's a tough job. But let me tell you, the greeting card industry has changed a lot in recent years. And I know you think this is going to be boring, but listen up. It used to just be you sent cards for Christmas and birthdays, maybe anniversaries. That was about it. And then people started sending graduation cards. And then it was St. Patrick's Day cards and then Halloween cards. And then you went, okay, well, that's got to be it. Now it seems like there's cards for everything. No joke here. There's cards now you can get if you have a friend who gets a divorce. For instance, you send a card, congratulations right. on your separation. If your kid has just completed potty training, they have greeting cards you can send out.
No, they don't.
Yes. they have half birthday cards. And the story that really caught my attention is a true story based in San Francisco. There's a company now that is selling, I kid you not, post-abortion greeting cards.
Oh, no.
So you've got a girlfriend who went in for the procedure and she's a little down. Now, Lisa, you can get a card to send her that says, hey, way to kill a human, or whatever it is your message is, whatever it is you want to say.
I'm guessing it's not that.
God. I don't think that's it, but you know what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, it's getting to the point now where these greeting cards, it's like for every possible occasion. And I, we asked Lightning to track us down somebody to get more information on this because it's a very hot new trend. And he is the media relations manager for New World Greeting Cards. Please welcome to the Kevin Amin Show, Mr. Marvin Weber. Hi, Mr. Weber. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how you doing? How you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
We're good. We're good, sir.
Would not be happier. It's a new world at New World Greeting Cards.
Okay. Okay. Well, is what I'm saying accurate? Some people are going to think I'm exaggerating, but it's getting to the point now where there's cards for almost any occasion you can think of, right?
Absolutely. Listen, it's a complicated world we live in. There's new things happening all the time, very difficult situations. Sometimes you want to express yourself with a lovely greeting card.
Right.
Old companies like Hallmark, these other companies, they don't carry the right cards. They don't carry those kind of cards for those delicate situations.
Right.
You were talking about the post-abortion cards. We carry those because what are you going to do? It's harder sometimes to see somebody face-to-face and say, ooh, ouch, sorry about the whole abortion thing. But if you put a card in the mail, you get your sentiment across, and there's none of that ugly face-to-face communication.
Yeah, and you get a message from a professional, somebody who has written something eloquently that you might not be able to think of on your own to say.
Right.
Yeah.
We take complex issues, and we distill them down to three or four lines in a greeting card. You get everything you need in a nice, compact little sandwich.
So are there others that we haven't heard of?
Absolutely. We're opening up a brand new line of New World greeting cards. You can find these in stores throughout the greater United States. We're very happy about this new line of cards for very difficult, very, very touchy situations.
Okay, like what?
For instance, say your friend gets raped.
Well, what?
You feel bad, don't you?
Well, of course, yeah.
I would hope so. So what you want to do, you want to send something from our sexual assault line.
You have a whole line.
Absolutely. Like, roses are red. Snowflakes make snow. It's not your fault, because no still means no.
Well, I don't know if that's going to make her feel any better.
Sure, a lot of women feel guilty afterwards. But that's what you're letting her know. It's not your fault.
Right. Marvin, how many of those have you sold?
Seven.
Seven, okay.
So far, okay.
All right.
Hey, what do you do if a buddy of yours gets hit in the balls? Don't
laugh.
You feel bad for you? How dare you? How dare you, you inconsiderate effer.
Okay. All right, I go buy a card.
That's right. You feel bad for him, but you don't want to go up and say, ooh, sorry about your balls. You don't even say balls to your friend. You don't want to touch him. You don't massage him, make him feel better.
No, of course
not. You just want to give him a card. Just send him a nice card.
Okay.
I hate second guessing. I don't mean to nag, but consider a cup to protect your beanbag.
Good advice.
That way he's protected, and you're also saying, I'm sorry it happened.
I like it.
How often does this happen to you? You're with a girl. You give her a sexually transmitted disease. Don't you feel guilty afterwards?
I don't think I've ever done that, but I imagine I would, yeah.
Trust me, it's a delicate situation. You give the girl a clap or something, the next thing you know, not only is she angry, maybe she's suing you or something. Forget about
right.
it.
Okay,
You gotta touch base early on, make her know you're sorry.
Okay.
Like this one. This note's to apologize. Let's keep this out of the courts. I'm genuinely sorry I gave you genital warts.
That's a specialty item right there.
Oh, we got them all. We got chlamydia. We got the clap. We got syphilis. You name it. We got them all.
Wow.
Hey, you know what's happening all the time? Teachers are having sex with kids in school.
That is happening, yeah.
And let's say you're a teacher. You can't resist it. You got to bang somebody's son or daughter. You feel bad for the parents afterwards, don't you?
I would imagine, yeah.
Send them a note. Let them know. I think the parents would appreciate knowing the teacher that took the innocence of their child feels a little bit bad. Like this is the card.
Okay.
The damage is done. A bell can't be unrung. I'm sorry about Junior, but he's really well hung. So it's an upside.
There's an upside to that, okay?
Let's say you're dating a girl for the first time. You go back to your place, you're having a little sex, and you decide, what the hell, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to have anal sex with her without her consent.
Yeah.
Don't you feel bad afterwards?
I would think so, yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I know you're a good girl. I don't think you're a whore. I just couldn't resist breaking in your back door.
Okay. You know, no woman wants to get a card like that. I'm sorry, Marvin.
Hey, at least you're showing that you care.
I guess.
And, you know, this current political situation we're dealing with, it's so awkward when one of your friends becomes a suspected terrorist.
That happens?
Oh.
Yes, it is.
I can't tell you how many Middle Eastern friends I have who are on some sort of list.
Okay.
Oh, it's tragic what's happening to some of these guys, uh-huh. I'll tell you. So we've got a new line of cards for suspected terrorists.
Okay.
It's sad you're a suspect. I'm sharing your dread. but it might be time to shave off the beard, towelhead.
Oh, I don't think...
No.
That's a terrible... That's a terrible idea.
But it shows you're on their side.
No, it doesn't.
All right, maybe we go back to the lab on that one.
The Kevin Mead Afro Line is on the air right now, 323-520-AFRO. You call us, leave us a funny message, we play it on the air. It's just one less bit of comedy we have to come up with for the day.
Sometimes funny, sometimes not. A lot of calls we get from the car, people are driving. This particular guy not in the car, he's actually trying to fall asleep.
Yeah, I was just laying in bed. I'm wondering if my butthole was still bleached or not. I don't know. I'm not gay.
Sure you're not.
It was a long time ago the second mites got the a-hole bleached.
I had forgotten about that on purpose.
Me
and
too.
That guy just brought back an ugly memory.
Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Still bleached?
Still bleached. It's covered up by the forest. But
oh, for God's
sake. Why'd you ask?
Yesterday we were talking about the Cincinnati Little League and how ridiculous it is that they're no longer allowing the hey, batter, batter, swing chatter because it might hurt someone's feelings.
Yes.
Along with the na-na-na-na goodbye song.
Na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, hey, you suck.
I'd like to think that guy was singing that to the Little League in Cincinnati and not us.
Yeah. But I gotta tell you, it does hurt.
It does, doesn't it?
A little bit, it stings.
Wow, that's right.
Do you think that in Cincinnati Little League, they're gonna stop calling outs and start saying, you're not quite in, losers?
That's a good point. Because it does seem offensive to say somebody's out, like they're not included anymore.
That's right. That's harmful to say out. So it's the 4th of April. That means in 16 days, we're coming up on quite an anniversary. The one-year anniversary of Lisa May.
Lisa May, just wondering if you're going to get back up on that horse after you fell off from last year's 420. So keep me posted.
Oh, interesting. Is it going to be brownies in the Kevin and Bean studio? That's
a
great question.
No, there will be no brownies.
I'm done.
Guys,
I don't feel good. I need to go to the hospital.
I thought I was going to stop breathing. There will be no brownies.
I'm just saying, 420
anymore.
Is coming up.
Yeah,
Brownie
whenever.
Part 2.
Have fun.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, Ralph's here with the showbiz beat right now, though. Ralph, what's going on?
A lot of interesting duets happening in the world of music. I don't know if you guys heard or not, but Ashley Simpson is moving back into the studio for her next album. She will be working with Robert Smith of The Cure.
No.
Yeah, when that story broke this week, we got emails from listeners who said that's it. They can no longer support The Cure. They've been lifelong fans, but they're out at this point.
Robert and Ashley will be doing a duet on her next album, which is a follow-up to I Am Me, which was her first CD, which was, I thought was incredibly insightful of her.
I saw that story and I just literally wrote it off to we're gonna find out that's false. You know, there's a certain amount of stories on the internet you just know are gonna turn up not be true.
Thought April Fools?
There's gotta come out. There's no way.
I mean, it was weird that he, Robert Smith, appeared on the Korn CD. That was a weird enough mix. But Ashley Simpson? Hard to imagine that he would be into that.
This one makes a little more sense. Rumor is that Timbaland and Britney Spears are going to be working together on her next CD.
Yeah.
Sure.
However, he stepped forward and said he's denying that rumor.
Really?
He said he has nothing to do with her comeback whatsoever.
How about that?
And that the press will just put anything out. They'll just tie people together with no cause whatsoever. But he is saying he's not interested in working with her.
Wow.
So that's been a long-standing rumor that has been denied.
Yeah. Yeah, and it went so far as to people were saying that he was going to do a song with Justin and Britney on it, remember?
Yeah.
Timbaland is working with Robert Smith of The Cure, though. That is happening.
That's true. That wouldn't surprise me.
Speaking of Justin, he's been a little cranky pants lately.
What's
According
wrong?
To Star Magazine, he says he's pissed off at the Grammy Awards for awarding him with a pop award instead of an R&B award. He said he's an R&B singer. He's not a pop singer. He got the wrong Grammy.
He got a Grammy.
That's what I'm saying. You got a freaking gramophone. Take it home, put it on your shelf, shut up.
But it's not in the category he wanted?
Exactly.
He sang two songs on the show.
Not enough for him.
More than kind.
Friends are also saying he's been making fun of Prince a lot recently. Saying he's short and has a low speaking voice. No, you didn't! Watch that kind of language. That
man.
You can get sued for that kind of stuff.
He's out there with that.
Oh, that. That Justin, he's an OG.
Hey there, cowboy.
Oops, sorry, wrong one.
What the F?
Excuse me? That's the wrong one. Sorry.
No, do you think?
No, my bad. I apologize.
Christy Swanson will be guest starring on Law & Order on May 8th. She will be playing an overweight, drug-abusing model who has a rich guy as a former dead husband.
No.
She's a new mom, and her older son is found dead from drugs.
Jeez.
Doesn't ring a bell.
No? Doesn't make you think of anybody?
No.
Yeah, it's the Anna Nicole Smith story, basically. That's who it is.
Ah, yes.
However, they were worried that she might not be voluptuous enough to pull off the character.
Right.
But it turns out she just had a baby. So she shot this 5 weeks after giving birth to her son, Magnus. And she still had some baby weight on her, so she looked properly puffy for the Anna Nicole Smith role.
Puffy is in it also?
Oh. Gilligan, we're never going to get off this island.
That's ludicrous.
No! No doubt.
Yeah!
Today's celebrity birthdays, Magnus Svenningsson, bassist for the Cardigans, is 35 years old today. Magnus Svenningsson.
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
Bassist for the Cardigans. You guys talked to the Cardigans once, didn't you?
I'm not positive, but I think he is the band member who actually fell asleep during our interview.
Live on the air during the interview, fell asleep.
Put his head down on the desk, fell asleep.
I wonder what that interview would sound like.
I went to Norway, you know, and they had the IKEA. The IKEA was huge. Was it huge?
Can you please stop talking about Norway?
Nina, you've been here for 15 minutes. You're already tired of Norway? But see...
And then it got worse.
That was the first
one. Okay.
And then Kevin jumped in to save me.
I don't know where I'm going with this.
And lightning ran in the room. And then said nothing happened.
apparently nothing happened when lightning came in the room. Sorry.
That's so rare. Usually when he runs the room, he says something.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but... Yeah, the Cardigans, not a good memory for us here on the Kevin Beecher route, but thanks for bringing it up.
Nina was the first one of many to say over the years, would you please stop talking about Norway? I think she coined that phrase, and we've all used it since.
Well, she wasn't from Norway.
No, she was from Sweden. No.
She was from Sweden, but Bean thought, that's a
close
part
enough,
of the world.
Close enough.
Scandinavian.
No.
I can tie it in with the IKEA reference. It is hard.
Oh, Lord.
It is hard to blame him, though, as she was a bitch and wouldn't answer a single question we were asking.
How dare you?
We ran out of questions in the first minute.
They're artists, man. They don't have to jump through your hoops.
And I'm a fan of theirs. I mean, I still like and listen to their records. No joke. But, tough interview.
Yeah. Also celebrating a birthday today, David Cross, our pal from Arrested Development. He's 43 years old today. Robert Downey Jr., actor who will soon be seen as Iron Man up on the big screen. David E. Kelly, legendary writer, producer. He gave us Law & Order. He gave us Boston Legal. Gave us The Practice.
Mm-hmm.
Gave us Ally McBeal.
He gets the red carpet now. Any show he puts out, they give him like a 5-season deal.
Gave us Wedding
Bells.
Well,
not Wedding Bells.
Oh, wait a minute.
Sorry.
He's 51 years old today. And Craig T. Nelson, who played Coach on Coach, also can be currently seen in Blades of Glory with Will Ferrell. He's 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I played a prank or two on my teachers in my time. I don't think I had the nerve that some of these kids have today. For example, in Muncie, Indiana, I don't know if you saw the story, but an 8th grader has been suspended from school and faces getting kicked out of school after admitting that he peed in the teacher's coffee pot.
Well, that's just bad form.
It is, but that's one of those things where you might not get discovered.
Absolutely.
Right? So,
absolutely.
I don't know.
But here's what makes that brilliant to me. But not that we're saying it's good. We're saying don't do it.
Right.
But
don't do that. Absolutely not.
Here's the thing. Like, I put, like, ground up eraser in my teacher's coffees. I don't know why. Hey,
why would you do that?
I don't know. I have no idea. Just to see if I could do it. But this student pees in the coffee cup. Not funny. Teacher's coffee pot. Funny. Right? Who's with me?
What? I don't get
it. Because now you're distributing it to the entire faculty.
Oh, I see.
Makes it funny.
It's all funny.
Okay.
You know, there was a story a couple of days ago on Bainbridge Island, Washington,
about some students that had a project due and they wanted to figure out a way to get out of it. And, you know, in the past, you've heard about students will, you know, they'll call in a bomb threat or something like that to get the school evacuated so they don't want to turn in their homework that day or something.
Right.
Well, this student took a different approach. Knowing that their teacher was allergic and deathly so to strawberries, they put strawberry lip gloss on her water bottle so that as soon as it touched her lips, she would get really, really sick, had to go to the hospital, and they were able to treat her. She didn't, you know, fortunately, she didn't die or something like that. But on purpose, they did that to her just so they didn't have to hand in their stuff that day.
See, again, I don't think I had that mean streak in me.
That malice?
That seems like that would be...
I do, too. I mean, she could have died,
yeah.
Although I wouldn't think strawberry lip gloss.
I wouldn't either, but...
It's like strawberries.
We talked to a teacher into going home because all of us got together and said, wow, you don't look good. Are you all right? Well, we talked her into mentally thinking she was sick, and she went home. But there was nothing wrong with her. It was just like to see if we could do it.
That's just mind control. Right. Nothing
yeah,
wrong
mind
with
control.
That.
Dude, you don't look good. She goes into the bathroom, checks herself, comes back out.
We're gonna take some calls on pranks that you have played on teachers, because for some reason there are a lot of them in the news right now. But 1-800-520-1067 is the toll-free number. Pranks you played on teachers, whether you got caught or not. Psycho Mike, I can't imagine that you weren't a handful when you were in school. It seems to me like you're the type of person who would live to torture your instructors.
Yeah, I did a lot of good stuff. I used to come in early to a class and hole punch the entire roll sheet. So it was just nothing but, like, open holes. You couldn't take roll. And I one of the teachers who was a coach also, so I kind of had a good relationship with him, I used a super, super rigid epoxy that you use for, like, car parts and stuff.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I glued everything on his desk to his table. And it was impossible to remove. And I had to, like, they had to replace, like, his stapler and his notebook and stuff because it would not come
off.
Did
he know it was you?
Well, eventually.
Please.
I mean, yeah.
Like everyone
did.
By
the way, these are, let's bear in mind, we're talking about teachers here, the people who have the toughest, B, perhaps the most important job that's being done in America. Long hours, low pay, and then they've got to deal with jackasses like Psycho Mike who make their lives even more miserable.
Before you go on, I would just like to point out that that by focusing on this, we're not saying do it or that it's good.
No, it's bad.
We're saying don't do it.
It is bad.
Okay, Mike.
One of my teachers is a fat pig. He's a big fat ass. And he left his camera on his desk one day like an idiot. And so I took it. And this is, you know, in the mid-90s. This is not when you had
digital
stuff.
Yeah.
So I actually went to a film place and had it developed on my own buck just to see what was on there. And there's vacation pictures of him and stuff with, like, his shirt off and posing in Hawaii or wherever he was. And I blew one up and brought it into class and put it up. He's a big, fat pig.
Why wouldn't you? See, my first thought if I see somebody's camera is take a picture of my balls. That's
right.
What I think.
That's what I thought he'd do.
Right? That's
or the teacher's toothbrush up your ass.
Right, something. Take it and then leave the camera so that the teacher discovers it.
Thinking more along the lines of there's something on here I could blackmail him with.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right.
Not that
so
that's
you
good.
Made a you made a poster out of him with his shirt off and hung it up in the classroom.
Yeah, it was more like an 8x10.
Then you offered to shred him, right?
Yeah, that's what I'll be ripped, dude.
Oh, yeah, you're ripped.
Did you get caught on that one? Did he find out it was you?
I don't recall. You know, I don't really remember.
He doesn't recall much.
I was in trouble so much that I don't. It all blends together.
Lightning.
You don't recall like Karl Rove doesn't recall. By the way,
exactly.
We know how it works with you. You recall what's convenient.
Yeah. Lightning. Yeah, I was in a band class and we had a multi-pronged attack to our band teacher. There,
the guy doesn't have a hard enough job, but he's a band teacher
kidding.
Yeah. Talk about low pay. Talk about everything else.
Well, for theft reasons, they didn't have windows, so you know they didn't want breakage. You know, and people stealing the instruments. So it was, and they had. The whole place would be black when you'd shut off the lights.
Right.
So he'd walk into his little office in the back. We'd kill the lights, and we'd steal his lifeblood, the baton, or the little, what do you
mean?
Right. The baton.
Yeah, exactly. And he loved that thing.
Yeah.
So as we would turn the lights off, he would go ape. We'd hide it behind like a poster or under a desk, and then everyone would pick up the instruments and just hurl them into the air. Every instrument, I mean, drums and saxophones and everything was getting dented up. He finally, the melee calms down, and then, of course, we'd spend the rest of the class looking for the baton, and then he would have us all write sentences.
Oh, sure.
So 50 sentences for every single person, and one time he sent the whole class to the principal's office. So all 35 of us go to the principal's.
That's a score.
The principal looked at us and he's like, oh, we have a problem. Go back to class.
Yeah. That's awesome. Did you put the baton up your ass?
It's still there.
Okay, excellent. We're not saying these are good ideas.
Don't do this.
Don't
in fact,
do
we're saying
this
the opposite
what we're focusing on. We're saying don't.
Let's take one call before the break, and it's a beautiful young lady named Sophia who's calling us from Arcadia. I don't usually think of girls doing stuff like this, but apparently Sophia is one of us. Hey, Sophia, what'd you do to your teacher?
Good morning. Well, you know, being a Catholic school girl, you know, we're not all what we're cracked up to. But when I was in seventh grade, I gave my teacher a bar of X-Lax, telling him it was chocolate, in part because he had really rank breath, and he would, like, hang over our desk to try to, like, teach us math, and would, like, just breathe his horrid breath on us. So, I mean, it wasn't my whole plan. I mean, I wasn't alone in the plan.
Right. You just wanted to you wanted to back him off.
Exactly. And, I mean, basically what we did was we presented, you know, from the class a bar of chocolate. So when he came into class one morning, it was on his desk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he, you know, unknowingly ate the entire bar, not realizing it was all X-Lax.
I've never eaten.
For 2 days.
Out for 2 days. Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been explosive. I've never eaten X-Lax. Does it really taste like chocolate?
I mean, I don't know.
So that you wouldn't be able to tell the difference?
No, it does taste like chocolate because, you know, I mean, it really does.
But looking back on it now, you regret it because it's a bad idea.
Yeah, you know, and given, you know, I work with children all day and my best friend's a school counselor and, you know, so kind of knowing what happens.
Payback is coming, Sophia.
It is coming.
It's on the way. You know. The kids of today are now plotting on how to get you.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Bye now. And what we're saying is don't play pranks on teachers.
Absolutely not. It would be wrong. In fact, here's an email from K-Rock listener Claire. Then we'll get back to your calls. My sister had a substitute teacher once who was old and had hearing aids. Everyone in the class started whispering so that she'd turn up her hearing aid. You can see where this is going. Once they were up so high they were audibly ringing, all the kids started shouting. And it was so loud the poor woman screamed. Come on. Don't do that.
Don't do that. That's
horrible. I mean, that's really sad, right?
Yeah, it's
kind of funny, but it's sad.
It's
no, it is. I'm saying.
That's torturing her.
Jose in Los Angeles, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Good morning.
Teacher pranks, what'd you do?
We had this teacher. I went to all-boys Catholic school, and we had this religion teacher who was blind. Okay. He had a seeing eye dog in the classroom.
Okay.
Well, religion wasn't doing him much good then if he couldn't even keep his sight.
Probably not.
So what'd you do? What'd you do to the poor blind guy who's now blind and a teacher making minimum wage? What'd you do to him?
Yeah. So he busted one of my friends the day before, so we came in one period right before lunch and rearranged the desks in a maze.
Oh, dude.
Why would you do that, Jose?
Well, wait a minute. If he had the dog, wouldn't the dog lead him around?
Well, the dog was leading him around. The problem is that, you know, it was brand new situation for the dog, so he was trying to make it through, and the whole time he kept bumping into desks and, you know, knocking stuff over.
That's not funny.
I mean,
it's kind of funny.
It's not funny.
No, it's not funny at all.
He's going to hell.
We had a teacher who was blind in one eye, and so he couldn't see half of the room, so we could tell which half of the room he was looking at, and the other half of the room would all stand up and start going, hey, looking at the other students, and the other students would try to keep their straight faces.
Let's go to Steve down in Gardena, 1-800-520-1067, talking about the teacher prank. Steve, what did you do to your teacher?
Yo, I completely mummified the principal's car.
Mummified the principal's car?
What does that mean?
How did you do that?
Me and three other friends took about two of them 48 packs of toilet paper and just completely wrapped the car up, top to bottom.
So he came out and he said, yep, there's toilet paper on my car.
That is a bad surprise, though.
I guess, but not a very good prank, really, do you think? Let's go to Jake in Tarzana, because this is truly, I mean, we're warning people don't do this stuff, right? I mean, that's what this is about.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, Jake, hi.
Good morning, Kevin B, and hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Jake.
Teacher pranks, what'd you do?
Okay, we had a school where every classroom had a TV in it, and mm-hmm. every morning they'd play a quick 15-minute news program.
Okay.
Keep us informed or whatever. So we found out that all the TVs were controlled from one audiovisual room. So we broke into the audiovisual room and put a porno in the VCR instead of the daily news program. So at 10 o'clock, all the TVs in the school go on at the same time, and it's just this girl bent over a couch just getting it.
I'd just picture every teacher lunging for the TV controls.
Yeah, no kidding.
I've never seen a 200-pound man move so fast.
You would have seen him move faster if it was him. I would suggest that because that's a bad prank. And
don't do that.
Not funny in any way.
Let's go to Alma, because there's a special place in hell for people who play pranks on substitute teachers. Like, they don't have it bad enough. Alma, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, what did you do?
Well, we had a substitute teacher that she thought she knew it all, and blah, blah, blah. She always told us stories that she was afraid of bugs, and so we went and bought a white mouse, and we painted red crosses on its back and put it in her drawer.
Red crosses?
Yeah.
Like a mouse isn't going to scare her enough. You knew she was afraid of it, right? you gotta paint red.
It was a nursing class.
So oh, okay. Well, then it makes sense.
So it's a nursing mouse.
All right. Good, then. I'm in.
Well, that's no fun for the teacher. It's no fun for the mouse. So don't do
we
that, I think is what we're saying.
Bean's more offended by the mouse than he is the substitute teacher.
I don't know what you're basing that on, but yeah, I'm just saying it's no fun for either one.
The hatred that's in your voice for that person about the mouse.
Hear what you want to hear. Let's go to Tiffany in West Covina, 1-800-520-1067. Teacher pranks. Tiff, what'd you do?
Hi, Kevin DeBean. Hi, Lisa Main.
Hello.
We had this one teacher in junior high, brand new math teacher. She was a short Asian lady. No one liked her because we couldn't even understand what she was teaching half the time.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, a big group of us went into her prep period while she wasn't there, decorated the entire room with gum, then stuck condoms on the inside of the door and the outside. And then so by the time class rolled around, we were waiting outside the door for her to show up. She got so disgusted by the condoms that she had to call the janitor to come and take them off because she couldn't even touch the door because she was so disgusted.
Right.
And by the time we got into the classroom, she looked in, saw gum everywhere on the walls, the desk, the chalkboard. She left, and our principal had to come in because she decided to quit like 2 weeks later.
Hang on, condoms on door, gum. All
look, I don't blame her for not touching them. God knows what you kids did in those condoms.
No kidding.
I wouldn't try
gum all over the room. Okay.
It's so hard to get people into that profession because it's such a bad job, and you made one quit, basically.
Wow. You rule. I mean, that's bad.
Bad job.
Don't do that.
Yeah. And we were the honors class, too.
Oh, jeez.
It was even worse.
Wow. Wow. This is ugly, people.
This is our future.
All right. Thank you for the call. One more. I just saw this one, so we gotta go to it quick.
Oh, Lord.
Because Tony in Culver City takes all this to another level. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, we're good.
We're good.
What did you do?
I found out that this one teacher, I never had him or anything, had a microwave in his classroom. And I had the bright idea to put poop in there. And I cranked the dial to, like, 10 minutes, and then I ran.
Oh.
And, like, 15 minutes later, the school started stinking, and they had to close the school for the rest of the day.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
See, now, this guy got school excused for the day, not just the class. So that we're encouraging people to do?
I don't think this is a good idea either.
We're not encouraging. Okay, don't do that.
All right. All right, let's check out the email bag. A lot of people writing on a lot of different topics. All of our email addresses are up at krock.com. Here we go. Hey, Bean, says Chaz. You know those people who put their family name and they have little figures with the name of each person on the back of their vehicle? Well, the other day, I'm at a stop sign, and I look at the back window of this small pickup, and in front of me in big letters it says, The Ass Family. Well, I just thought maybe, you know, some letters fell off. That must be some mistake. But I get up a little closer, and then I saw that they continued the joke. The dad's name was Lard. The mom's name was Fat.
Oh, now it's not funny.
One kid was dumb, and the other kid was stupid. You got to love the 909. By the way, in case you're wondering, Fat was driving the truck. So that's what they're doing out there in the 909.
Dear Kevin and Bean, do you realize that if the season ended today, we wouldn't have to listen to Bean ramble on about the goddamn Mariners, Mike?
Goddamn 2-0 Mariners is what you're talking about. Psycho Mike, what's your favorite Dodger victory so far this year? Which one of their many, many wins have you enjoyed the most watching?
Just save that tape, would you? Just save the tape. Nice. I'm sure it'll come in handy the rest of the season.
Yeah. You see bad things happening down the road for me?
Sure.
Here's an email from K-Rock listener Amy about a story Ralph reported on earlier today. Is it true what I'm hearing that The Cure is going to be putting an appearance on Ashley Simpson's new album? I am going to kill myself, but only after I smash all of my Cure CDs and begin a total boycott on the band. You know, I really didn't mind the Korn thing, but Robert Smith really is dead to me now. What's the next collaboration? Jessica Simpson and Nine Inch Nails? Please. That's from Amy. Not happy with some of the friends that Robert Smith of The Cure is hanging out with, apparently.
Let's wait and see if that happens. I find that hard to believe.
I do,
you still
too.
Think it may not be true?
I hope not.
But weirder things have happened.
I hope not. You know, we have the Download Rodeo at krock.com. You go to the Kevin and Bean page. You can download sounds of all different kinds. I don't know if this one is up or not. I imagine it is, but this person wants us to add this particular sound bite.
Boobs.
Theodore wants to hear
boobs
when his phone rings or new email.
Boobs.
Right. Yeah. We haven't been able to put that one up, of course, because we can't put copyrighted material up. So, unfortunately, that one's from The Office. It's from The Office, yeah. So, yeah. Unfortunately, we don't own it, so we can't play it. But it sure would be funny.
Boobs.
Sure would be funny.
Boobs.
I've got an... All right, we got that one, Karen. Thank you. I've got an email about the Download Rodeo 2. One of the most popular clips at KROQ.com is this one.
Did somebody order Mexican?
I mean, that you can't beat that, right? Here's an email from KROQ listener Kathleen. I was shopping with a friend this weekend in Costa Mesa. There's a little shopping center with about four or five small clothing shops in there. All are owned and run by Hispanics. Well, they were all full of young Hispanic girls and their mom shopping. I was in the changing room, and as I was pulling the shirt on over my head, the phone rings. The loudest and most obnoxious, did somebody order Mexican? Did somebody order Mexican? Over and over again, did somebody order Mexican? At the time I put the ringtone on my phone, I thought, hey, that's the funniest thing ever. But as I was standing there in that fitting room, half naked, digging through my huge purse for my tiny little phone with all those people around, I was completely regretting it. Thank you, KROQ Download Rodeo.
Awesome.
Yeah. Did somebody order Mexican?
That's awesome. That's the best story ever.
I know.
And finally, one on The Secret. We've been talking about this for quite some time.
The Secret. The Secret. The Secret.
Think positively, and it will bring good things to you. If you don't think you'll get fat, you won't. If you don't look at fat people, you'll stay thin. That kind of stuff. If you expect bills, that's what you'll get. But if you expect checks,
that's what you'll get.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I really don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but I have to say that The Secret is complete BS. Because I've been thinking about Scarlett Johansson showing up at my door in lingerie holding a six-pack and a check for $10 million for years now. And I still wake up in my small single-family dwelling, no Scarlett Johansson, no $10 million in beer. Mm. I had to go to the store to buy myself. So if this crappy New Age religion can't even deliver something as simple as that, what use is it to me?
Exactly.
Good point.
Chris,
good point.
We are with you in that, Chris.
Ralph is here right now with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
I love the Showbiz lists. You see them in almost every celebrity-based magazine. They give you a list of the hottest this or the largest that or the richest this.
Yeah. There's always a list. Every day there's a list.
Well, In Touch magazine, they're finally out of lists. This is the last one they're ever going to publish. It's got to be. Because if they had any other list to publish besides this one, I think they would have.
So this is the bottom of the barrel?
In Touch magazine this week is releasing their list of hottest guys named Matt. Top 10 hottest guys named Matt.
Do they present that as a joke?
I don't believe they do.
Wow.
Top 10 hottest guys named Matt.
I'm Matt Adam. Hey.
Here's your list. Matt Damon. Number 10.
He's sure named Matt.
He sure is.
He is. He's about as mad as they get.
Number 10 on the list.
There's a Matt.
Number 9, Matt Leinart. You know him, former QB from SC, currently with the Arizona Cardinals.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Hot Matt.
Yeah, and named Matt, yeah.
He's a hot Matt.
Okay.
The more you say it, the nastier it sounds.
Matt Dillon.
No.
He's a hottie.
He's not.
He's a Matt.
He was a little bit of a teen heartthrob 25 years ago, but
not
I don't think
now.
Yeah, I don't think so much now.
See, you're already scraping the bottom of the guy's name Matt. I mean, you're already out at the third one.
He's a hot Matt.
Okay.
Matt Long.
Don't know
him. Never heard of.
Porn star.
Okay.
Gotta be with that name.
No, I'm kidding. He was in Jack and Bobby, the TV series Jack and Bobby.
Was he Jack or Bobby?
Yes.
Okay.
Matt Long, 7. Number 6, Ryan Phillippe. They ran out of Matts.
What? How are they? What? Number 6 already Ryan.
Apparently his real name is Matt.
God,
no. That should be celebrities whose...
He's a secret hot Matt.
That should be celebrities whose real
he's
name
a
is Matt.
Secret Matt. He's number 6. Matt Davis. Not Mac Davis, who is hot, by the way.
Who's Matt Davis?
Who's Matt Davis? Davis. He was in What About Brian. He's the former star of What About Brian.
My canceled show?
Yeah, Lisa.
Aww.
That's why it's canceled. Only you are watching
he
it.
He is kind of cute, if he's... The star.
No.
I don't even know his name.
He's not a star.
Matthew Perry, number 4.
No.
He's named Matt almost.
Not hot.
Guys, they're out of Matts already. What are you going to do?
Matt Dallas.
Who's Matt Dallas?
He was Kyle XY.
Who's Kyle XY?
Oh, you remember Kyle, the super-powered alien?
No.
I don't either. Matthew Fox.
Lost.
From Lost is second. And Matthew McConaughey. Do you think they put the whole list together just so they could put another picture of Matthew McConaughey in their
Absolutely.
Magazine?
With his shirt off? Yeah.
I have another question. If guys are named Matthew, they're not called Matt, should they be on the list?
Wow. Maybe around the house they're called Matt.
Does anyone call Matthew McConaughey Matt?
No, Matthew introduces himself. He goes, hi, I'm Matthew. That's how he introduces himself.
What about Lauer?
Not on the list.
Yeah, how pissed is Lauer, by the way?
No kidding.
Matt Dallas, Matt Long, and Matt Davis are on the list, and Matt Lauer did not make it.
That isn't good for you.
Matt Lauer better looking than Matthew Perry and Matt Dillon.
Nah, I don't know.
All right, psycho, whatever you say with your,
I don't think
your
so.
Gauge of attractiveness for men, I
down boy.
I do hope that they're doing this story on the Today Show and they point out that there are 10 guys they met on the list and he's not one of them. I think that would be very funny. Yeah.
Willard Scott made the list, but not Matt.
Because he knows a guy named Matt. Yeah.
Courtney Love says she's gone through another round of plastic surgery.
Excellent.
That can't be good.
Told the London Sun tabloid the latest round was that so she could look more natural. And you know, nothing makes you look more natural than more plastic surgery.
That is true.
I just didn't like the old nose job, she said. I went too far, but I fixed it and made it look natural again.
Hmm.
Can you do that?
Yeah, you have to put on one of those funny nose and glasses things you get at the novelty store. Yeah, it looks natural then. She made her lips less puffy, too. So there you go. She's back to being the old crazy Courtney Love we know and love.
Okay.
No pun intended.
She ever settle that hundreds of thousands of dollars debt with the rehab facility that she was in, Ralph? Do we
Not
know?
She's yet. Not yet, apparently. Okay. Speaking of rehab, they're saying now that rehabs are the new spas for celebrities.
The new spas?
Yeah, they're just checking in because it's trendy and it's a way to get out of the public eye and appear as if you're trying to do something to help yourself. If you have a public relations ding that you're trying to work out.
So you call your manager or somebody and you say, get me a rehab?
Yeah.
Okay.
And now you got to call ahead because they're booking up early. You got to try to get there midweek.
It's a season. You know, you don't want to go in the spring because all the rehabs are full. It's easier to go in the summer months when it's really hot.
Actual people try to get off cocaine are like, seriously, I got to get in.
I have a real addiction. I'm sorry. Jesse Metcalf has our suite all full up.
They're going to start putting red carpets in, have paparazzi out there doing interviews.
Apparently, Jesse Metcalf is the new Britney Spears.
Oh, he is. Okay.
First, he shaved all his hair off. There you go.
Now, this is the gardener, the guy who played the gardener in Desperate Housewives.
The hunky gardener. Yeah. If his name was Jesse Metcalf, he could have been the list of hottest mats.
Wouldn't have had to go to rehab.
Jesse Metcalf. Shaved his hair all off. Had a meltdown a la Britney Spears. Checked into Promises, much like she did. Uh-huh. And now, apparently, he, too, is ditching the inpatient care facility to go shopping during his downtime. He was seen at the Lisa Klein boutique while he was supposed to be in rehab. So apparently he took a day trip to do some shopping.
Wow.
How nice.
And not wearing panties either, by the way, I understand.
Denise Richards is not making friends with her neighbors.
What a surprise.
Apparently Us Weekly magazine says that the neighbors in her neighborhood, a gated community neighborhood, are asking her to move. She keeps inviting paparazzi in behind the gates to take pictures of her and her kids. And the
really?
People who live behind the gated community are like, hey, it's just gated. What part of gated don't you understand? That means the strangers don't come in.
That is weird.
She invites them in.
Yeah. She loves her some publicity.
I think that would upset me.
So they're trying to get a coalition together to get her booted out of the community. We'll wait and see what happens there. And in Sweden, a couple is fighting for their right to party. And to name their daughter what they want. Michael and Carolina Tomorrow have asked the Swedish National Tax Board for permission to name their baby daughter Metallica.
Oh.
The Swedish National Tax Board. Shouldn't they be the Swedish National Name Board? Really?
Yeah, they're the tax board.
And they're the tax board. They're refusing to register the baby's girl name as Metallica. No, sir. You do not get to name her that, they're claiming.
Thank God they don't do that in America because we have a lot of bad names.
Yeah. Maybe they should start doing it in America, quite frankly. They say it's because of the association with the band, but also because the name contains the word metal. Which they just don't like, I guess.
What?
Yeah. Officially, someone also said from the tax board, Metallica's an ugly name for anyone, especially a girl. So they're taking it to a higher court. They're taking it to the High Court of Sweden, whatever it's called.
The High Name Court?
Yes, the High Name Court, to see if they can actually get the kid named Metallica. And they're on the clock, too, because they're trying to take a trip this summer outside of Sweden, but they can't get the baby a passport until the name issue is settled, so... We'll have to wait and see.
There are many countries around the world that have this where you have to get the government to approve your name. But in some countries, you're not allowed to come up with a new name. You can only pick from names that have already been authorized. They will not allow anything new.
It's got to be Svenna or Bjorna. Those are the two you get. Other than that, you got nothing.
I got an email from a listener telling me that story with a link telling me that he wanted to name his kid Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. That's quite a pull.
Don't have a baby in Sweden then.
They won't okay it.
Huh.
Rare OMD reference.
I named one of my first child Chumbawamba, but my wife wouldn't go for it.
Oh, that's too bad.
She wouldn't let me.
Wait, you don't have any kids.
I know, but when we do, I told her. I said, boy or girl, Chumbawamba. She said no.
And you know I love the contract riders.
Oh, yeah.
These are the parts of a contract when a performer is attending a venue they're going to perform at. They get to say, besides the cash value of their performance, what else they get as a perk, usually backstage in their dressing rooms. Well, Busta Rhymes is doing a series of concerts in England. Yes, I know you'd think it's news at all that Busta Rhymes is doing concerts, but no, that's not the story. London Sun claims they got a hold of his contract rider, and the only two things he's asking for? Guinness by the case and Rough Rider condoms. There's a man who's just getting right to business. Whatever with the fresh vegetables, you can take your flowers and stick them up your ass. I don't need any Perrier water. I need Guinness and condoms.
Wow.
He's not asking for an all-white couch and a fur rug and a new toilet seat.
No,
just
rose
give
petals,
me the stuff.
No rose petals strewn in his path as he walks. Just Guinness and Rough Rider condoms.
He's narrowing it down to the essentials.
Never used the Rough Rider, by the way. I believe it's made from sandpaper, though.
Is it?
Yeah, I believe the Rough Rider is.
No, I didn't realize that.
Busta's concert tour, incidentally, is called the Big Bang Tour. So,
sure enough.
At least he means what he says. Today's celebrity birthday is Craig T. Nelson, who played Coach Hayden Fox on the long-running TV sitcom Coach. You also know him as the dad from the Poltergeist movies. And you can see him right now in Blades of Glory. He's 63 years old today. Christine Lottie, Chicago Hope, and many feature films, 57.
Is she the one who, excuse me, Ross, is she the one who was in the bathroom and missed winning an award?
Yes.
Emmy.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
But Emmy, yeah.
Isn't she married to Tommy Shalami, too?
Yes, she is.
Oh, there you go.
Tommy Shalami, who works with, of course, that guy.
Aaron Sorkin.
All those things.
That's
Aaron
right.
Sorkin. Yeah. She's 57 years old today. Speaking of guys who write a lot of things, David E. Kelly, writer-producer of Ally McBeal and Boston Legal and Boston Public and other shows with Boston in the title. He's 51 years old. Apparently in the last Showbiz Beat, I was talking about his voluminous resume, and I said that he was responsible for Law and Order.
Right.
You did? But I don't remember
I misspoke.
Hearing you say
I meant
that.
L.A. Law. That's where he got his big break.
L.A. Law,
Stephen
right.
Boschko. He was one of the creators of L.A. Law. That's what I meant to say, so I stand corrected. He's 51 years old today. David Cross, actor and comedian, is 43. Robert Downey Jr. turns 42 years old today. And Nancy McKeon, for those who remember Facts of Life, she was the man in the girls' school. Remember? She was the boy who attended the school.
I don't think
Nancy McKeon. Oh, she was Joe. She rode a motorcycle and she had on overalls and grease on her face all the time.
Well, she was still a girl, though.
Looking at Blair, licking her lips, going, mm-hmm.
Yeah?
She was bringing in cases of dildos for all the girls.
I don't think that happened.
I don't think that happened. That was a very
remember
special
that
episode
one
I missed.
Episode where Mrs. Garrett found her with a strap on?
No.
Remember that?
I'd like to see that one.
Remember the one when she was walking around and everybody saying, smell my fingers?
No, that was not an episode. That didn't happen.
What's wrong with you?
It didn't happen?
No.
No.
Not even the feature film version?
No. I don't think there was a feature film version.
Well, there should be.
All right.
Then she should say, smell my fingers. She's 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Well, LaQuisha, back on the phone. As you know, the Pussycat Dolls is her favorite show. And it seems like what do they air that thing, LaQuisha? Two or three times a night? It seems to be like all the time that's on the TV.
They rerun it quite a bit.
Not enough for my money. That's what I got to say.
You love it.
I'm addicted. I cannot wait to see who's going to be the next Pussycat Doll. It's like some people wait to see who the next president of the United States is going to be.
Right, right.
I need to know who the next Pussycat Doll is going to be.
Can we write in Sanjaya?
I think we should.
Okay.
Well, it's down to the final six now. And last night, they were all talking about Cicely. Cicely was the punk rock chick who got voted out last week. Or as they say on the show, she had to turn in her feather boa.
All right.
And they were trying to figure out why Cicely got kicked off. And the one thing these women all have in common is brains. They are a smart group of girls.
Sure, sure.
And I think they may have put their finger on the intricacy of how this game is played.
The truth of the matter is Robin knows what she wants, and if Cicely is not the next Pussycat Doll, then she's not.
See? If she's not the next Pussycat Doll, then she's not.
Okay, that's a good point.
That's insight right there.
They should be philosophers, these girls.
Yes, they should.
Meanwhile, they're getting ready for the next competition, and Anastasia, who is the tallest, biggest of all the girls that's competing, she's having some problems with nervous eating. The higher the pressure gets, the more she's eating cake.
Uh-oh.
And she's worried that it's starting to affect her body detrimentally.
I feel like I really need to work on my physique. I've been eating cake because I'm stressed out, but I need to work on because you girls are little itty-minis, natural.
I feel like eating. I'm going to go find something to eat. And I'm going to do some cardio because I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, I'm going to eat some more because I'm so worried about my weight. And then do some cardio.
Right.
That's a lightning diet. Go eat me some Twinkies while I'm on the treadmill.
Except for he cuts out the treadmill part.
Well, all the girls have to go to Las Vegas in this episode and perform in front of a live audience, and whoever gets the best results from the audience voting will be immune from turning in their boa at the end of the night. But here's the trick. They got to go on a bus to Las Vegas from Los Angeles. They got to learn a brand new song while they're on that bus, and they got to learn the new choreography while riding on the bus.
Well, that's tricky.
That makes it difficult.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So they put them all on the bus and they send them off, and one girl doesn't quite get the concept.
Who does that? Who learns choreography on a moving bus? Can somebody please tell me? Because clearly, I didn't get that memo.
Well, clearly you weren't listening when they said you need to learn the choreography on the moving bus.
Really, just that show, that time?
Yeah, that's all who does it.
Yeah.
So they're teaching the song on the trip to Vegas. What's that, 5 hours in a car?
In a bus, six,
6 hours. They learn the song. They learn the choreography. They make them up on the bus. They put them in the wardrobe on the bus. And then they rush them from the parking lot in the bus right onto the stage for the competition.
Wow.
And one of the girls just cannot get over how exciting it is.
It's just nerve-wracking because we just learned the song today. We learned the choreography today. We just got our wardrobe. I guess this is what you do when you're a celebrity, you know? Just like last-minute performance.
That's how all the celebrities do it.
That's right.
Almost everyone that goes on tour waits until they're on the bus to learn their songs and their dancing.
That's right. That's how it works.
That's how Cher did it for years. Well, they put him in a suite there in Las Vegas. And I'll tell you something about this show. You started with 9 girls, you got 6 girls. If there was a soundtrack for this show, the only track on that soundtrack would be girls screeching. That's all these girls do. Everything that they say, anything exciting, they just screech their little heads off. Here's them looking at their suite for the first time. Dear Lord, I just want to take out their vocal cords.
That sounds like a scary movie trailer.
Yeah, it sounds like a clip from The Reaping. I thought that's where we're getting into here. That's awful.
Well, I'll tell you something. There is some discord amongst the girls, too.
Say it's not
so. Because Asia, you remember Asia, the black girl who had the baby at 17?
Right.
And now she's 18 and she decided to abandon the child to participate in this competition.
That's right, yeah.
She's getting a little full of herself, and some of the girls are starting to label her a diva. And Asia don't like that at all.
I got so angry, you know, when people were saying that I was a diva because, you know, divas sometimes not always looked at as a good thing.
No.
That's true.
Not always?
You got a point. Divas sometimes not always looked at as good things.
Yeah. Is it ever?
Another philosopher.
Yes, indeed. Kevin, you've been coaching these girls on how to speak, by the way.
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, Asia, she's starting to have a meltdown. She is becoming more and more a diva and more emotionally unstable. And the girls are trying to get at why.
I think I'm getting so emotional at this point because I know I'm so close. And I'm just handling it weird right now. I miss my freaking daughter so much. I'm gonna cry.
Yeah, one of the girls reminds her when she says, I'm just so close to winning this whole thing. What about your daughter that you left behind? Oh, yeah, I miss my daughter, too. That's another part of it. Well, they go into the competition, and each of the girls has to sing. And I'll tell you, these girls sing better than almost everybody on American Idol. That's got to piss them off.
I imagine, yeah.
American Idol got to watch this show and say, this is a competition for whores, and they sing better than our people do this season. Here's Melissa R. singing Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith.
I could spend my life in this sweet surrender. I could stay lost in this moment forever.
Now, Melissa does a pretty good job with it, but she starts to break down and cry at the end of the song, and she can't finish the song.
Oh, no.
And nobody knows why she just started bawling like a baby up on stage.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking of my grandma. I tried to hold myself, but it was kind of hard.
Well, the judges say, look, if you're going to be on stage singing a song, you can't just cry.
So I was thinking about your grandma.
You can't just let that happen. You got to be a professional. Yeah. And nobody was angry about it than Judge Little Kim.
What I want to tell you is try your best to not stop singing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Trust me, I know, because I had to perform literally 2 weeks after Biggie died.
That's right.
Well,
Biggie, grandma, same thing. Was your grandma shot? I don't think so. She died natural causes.
Did you say Judge Little Kim?
Oh, Little Kim's a judge.
All right.
Sure. I can't imagine a show where you would less be likely to think of your grandmother when you're out there in lingerie hoarded up to try to become a pussy cat doll. Doesn't it just seem like that'd be the furthest thing from your mind?
Unless you come from a long line of whores.
Maybe your grandma was a whore.
Sure is that.
Maybe
sure,
it's
sure.
a generational thing for her family. You sure. know, Bean. You don't know about whores.
You're right. I apologize, Louisa.
Well, it comes down to two girls on this episode, Chelsea and Mariela. Marilena.
Okay.
The Mexican chick.
Okay.
And we're all on the edge of our seats waiting to see who's going to go forward. And finally, Robin Anton, who is known as the visionary behind the Pussycat Dolls.
Sure.
They use that name, that word, quite a bit describing her. The visionary.
Visionary. Okay.
And I looked it up in the dictionary, and visionary says, woman who's had a lot of plastic surgery and marginal talent. That's what visionary
it
means.
It does, okay.
She tells us who's going to advance to the next round.
Congratulations, Chelsea. You are moving to the next round.
You know what that means?
Uh-oh.
Mariella's got to turn in her boa.
Oh.
And no one is more upset about it than Robin Anton herself.
Mariela, it's time to hang up your boa. You will not be the next Pussycat Doll. And I'm sad because you're beautiful.
I'm sad because you're beautiful.
Then don't send
don't
her
send
home.
Send me home. Do you like my looks or what? Or do you just want to date me? You can't sing and dance, but you're beautiful, and that makes me sad.
Wow.
Don't be sad because I'm beautiful. That's what I would have told her.
That's a hell of a show. No wonder you love that.
And then there were five. Oh, I hope that Asia chick go home, have to be a mama to her baby.
No, the baby's better off without her, don't you think?
Crying and everything, smacking the baby. You made me lose. I'm not a pussycat doll because of you.
Oh, no. All right, LaGuisha, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Time for Kellen and Beans.
Well, what it do, nephew?
At 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
And today we got a pair of tickets for you to check out the championship off-road racing, which is coming up, well, you know, it is that time of year. Saturday and Sunday, April 21st and 22nd at the Antelope Valley Fairgrounds. For more information, go to corracing.com for info. By the way, unrelated to this, don't we have one of Lightning's drivers who can't keep the car on the road coming in later this week? One of those guys who drifts?
The drifting, yeah, I don't think it's because they can't keep the car on the road.
No, I'm pretty sure
that's not what it is.
No,
yeah.
They're just bad.
Black ice.
They're just bad. Right?
It's all black, black, ice. Black ice.
I don't think it has anything to do with that.
It's all black ice.
No, they shouldn't go out so much when the weather's bad is what I'm suggesting.
There's white guys. You guys don't understand this at all.
All right. Well, he'll tell us about it later in the week, I guess.
I can't wait to talk to Jordan. I'm sorry, Bean. Go ahead and tell. Did you tell the prize already? Because I can't wait to talk to Jordan. Okay. Jordan in Burbank. Good morning.
What it do, nephew, baby boo?
Hey, Jordan.
What it do?
So one of my friends was got into the top 50 of American Idol a few years ago.
Right.
Top 50?
And he said that when you get to that level, you have to sign a paper that basically tells you that although the votes that people call in influence who stays and who goes, it doesn't directly control it. So if Sanjana stays or leaves, then it's pretty much up to American Idol.
And that's based on what the producers want?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Ralph, what do you think about this? You know a little bit more about the Idol and how it works than I do. I mean, we've heard allegations of that in the past, but it seems to me that when confronted with that question, the producers say absolutely not is solely decided by the votes, don't they?
Yeah. I think if this was real, we would have heard about it long before season 6 of American Idol.
This is a guy who got kicked off too soon and wanted to blame it on something else, guy?
It could be. It could very well be.
Maybe we should take calls.
It's fixed.
We should take calls to people who've been on it, because there's got to be plenty of people by now that have been on
it. I wouldn't be surprised if they put that in the contract just in case there was something they felt they needed to control. Maybe they don't actually do that, but they have the option.
Yeah, maybe. But
doesn't mean they're doing it.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
No, you're right, Lisa. That brings up a good point. Like, for instance, maybe they wanted to kick you off for some reason that they couldn't foresee at the time that you were allowed into, say, the top 100 or top 50 or whatever.
Yeah.
But they just wanted to have a carte blanche opportunity to, even if you got the votes, to be able to say, no, we don't want you on the show. Maybe it's just a total CYA
move. You're making,
move.
Making money posing with your boobies out on a website or something. They reserve the right to kick you off regardless of how many votes you get.
Yeah. Could be. Although, having said all that, and, Sanjay is the reason people are asking these questions, you got to think that the American Idol people, for as much as there's grumbling about it, it destroying the show, they have got to be loving the extra, especially since, as Ralph points out, there's not a lot of tremendous talent this year. They got to be loving all the controversy over Sanjaya.
Yeah, they need some hook, and if it's the bad guy, I bet ideally they'd like it to come down to the final two, Sanjaya and anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But and then have anybody else win.
But doesn't it kind of make them look lame if the bad guy is going all the way? I mean,
who wins never determines who actually succeeds.
No, I know, but it just seems like it would make him look
bad. There is more than singing to it. I mean, it is a personality contest as well, and a lot of people think Sanjay is cute, and they want to vote for him. You know?
Every season, they've had some crappy contestant last long into the, process that nobody thought they would achieve that.
But has there been this level of?
I think this guy is just the worst to go the furthest, and that's why he's garnering so much attention.
All right. Let's say good morning to Jacob and Winnie. Good morning, Jacob.
Good morning, guys. What did you do? What did you do recently?
What did you do, Jacob?
Hey, I was surfing a while back and ended up wiping out. My board went through my legs, and the fin went through my wetsuit and pierced a hole in my scrotum.
Oh man!
Yeah, I ended up getting 5 stitches on my nutsack.
Oh!
Where was this guy? We're giving away computers.
No kidding!
That is not
a pair of passes to a movie, dude.
You do not want to hurt your nutsack that way.
You know, we had a guy call a couple of weeks ago, Jacob, who was it a motorcycle accident, Kevin?
Yes.
He got road rash on his PS.
No. He was running after a guy to try and pee on him when he was drunk. Remember that? And he fell on the asphalt and scraped it up.
I think it may be time to revisit that phone topic now we've got those two great stories to get us started, because bad stuff happening to your junk is no good.
I was surfing, and the guy that was teaching me to surf, his fin went across my Achilles tendon and cut it.
Are you serious?
And I was sitting on the beach bleeding. But it was nothing compared to a nutsack.
No.
Whew, man. That's
the surfboard nutsack.
That's the best band name ever.
Coachella.
Good. All right, let's go to Christina in San Pedro. Good morning, Christina.
Hey, what's up, guys? What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
I'm not sure if I can top that last story, but...
Unless you don't even have a nutsack.
Unless you have a nutsack. I don't see how.
But I'm a waitress at a restaurant, and I get this really hot guy in my section. There's a golf course connected, so I get a lot of golfers.
Right.
And he's, like, flirting with me totally. I'm, like, saying charcuterie plate and calamari, and he's like, ooh, I love the way your lips move. And I'm the kind of person who, if I think someone's cute, I'm going to ask them out.
Yeah.
So on the way on, I'm like, hey, I'm like, oh, do you have a girlfriend or wife? Because I didn't notice a ring on his finger. And he's like, no. I'm like, well, do you want to go out sometime? And he's like, I would, but I live in, like, New England. And I'm like, all right. I was like, it's cool. You know, he said Boston.
Right.
He said, I live in Boston. And I'm like, all right, it's cool. I was like, well, it was nice meeting you. Everybody, like, I go back in the restaurant, and they're like, you know who you just asked out? And I'm like, who? And they say, Tom Brady.
Really?
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I swear to God, he is so hot in person.
Wait a minute.
And
Tom Brady's
like
hot?
I'm such an idiot.
Yeah. Why?
I'm
surprised
Why?
You're
like,
not pregnant, by the way.
I asked out this guy who obviously has a girlfriend, and he's like, no, he shot me down, too. Aww.
Well, he does live in Boston.
He's Tom Brady, though, too.
You could probably steal him away from Giselle Bundchen, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Don't give up so easily. That's what we're saying.
She can steal him, but she could probably get
Quitter.
A throw from him.
Yeah, you don't need to steal. You just need to throw, right?
He doesn't need lunch, right? He just drinks motor oil because he's a robot?
That is true. That is true. He plays quarterback without emotion. So
yeah, exactly.
Lisa, would you recognize Tom Brady if he were in a restaurant?
Not in a million years.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Well,
he's got to be one of the most famous athletes in America.
Yeah. No. Sorry.
Okay.
You're bad.
So, fellas, just say you're Tom Brady next time you meet Lisa.
It'll work.
I'm the quarterback for the NFL. won a couple of Super Bowls.
Debbie in Woodland Hills. Good morning.
Hi. What a do, nephew.
What a do.
I had to tell you the story about my husband and how he yelled at Make-A-Wish Foundation kids.
Oh, no. This is
fantastic.
Very mean-like. I love it.
He was on a business trip to Orlando, and these kids were kicking the back of his seat. Now, my husband despises children, so he turns around and he yells, basically, who is in charge of these monkeys, and tell them to not kick my chair anymore?
Oh,
and
no.
And that is when he noticed they were wearing Make-A-Wish Foundation
kids. Oh, no.
Were they bald?
I don't know. He just said that he just noticed them.
That
it only made it better, right, Lisa?
Yep.
Oh, no. Your husband is Bean. You know that, right?
I know.
Is he like Bean in any other way? He hates kids. Mouths off to Make-A-Wish Foundation kids. Same with Bean. Mm-hmm.
Does he like the 7-Eleven? The post office?
No.
All right, good.
It only would have been better if the kids had, you know, they were spastic or something. That was their disease, and they kept flailing about.
You don't understand. It gets better.
Oh, no.
He goes to check into his hotel, and he hears this noise behind him, and he realizes the kids are staying at the same hotel he's at.
Excellent.
And they yell at him, and they go, "That's the man who yelled at us."
Oh, no.
Awesome.
And great if they changed their wish to kill him.
Yeah,
forget
they
about
had to do
Mickey
it.
Mouse. Whatever Mickey Mouse. Now my new wish is kill that dude.
Do they have to? Are they bound by
that? They have to. Make-A-Wish Foundation has to make their dreams come true.
Wow. Okay, that sounds
I
a
love
little
it.
Harsh, but okay.
All the kids.
Hey, Frank.
Him.
How come you haven't gotten up yet?
I'm waiting, Sticky.
Yeah. See, the K-Rock microphones were there. How great is that?
All right. Is this Nick?
Yes, it is.
Nick. Did you say stop?
I met two hot British girls at the Laker game last night.
Okay, and?
Boy, Nick has no time for chit-chat today, man.
Stop.
He wants to get right to it.
Quit. Hey, listen, I met girls.
They were hot, and they were British. Oh. They sat next to me at the Laker game.
What a waste of two hot British chicks.
Were they with two guys, or were they by themselves looking for
a hot
action?
They were by themselves.
And?
How'd you do, Nick?
And, Kevin asks.
They all have boyfriends.
What is with all you quitters?
Every woman that meets you has a boyfriend. What are the odds?
Did you make your move before you found out they had boyfriends?
Well, I tried all night, and you know, I just chat with them at the game on and off, and there was just one girl. She was all blonde and hot, and she's all into the Lakers and Kobe, and it's like I wanted to marry her practically.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
I like Kobe, too!
Nick, do you think that the girls maybe could smell the desperation a little bit that you were talking about marrying him before you even found out their names?
No, I try to play down the whole desperation, high-pitched voice thing. I try to be calm and cool and just reserved.
Yeah,
right.
How'd that work out for you?
Nick, you know, she's probably going to yell at me for telling you this, but should I tell them about Alex at the Laker game?
Yeah, sure. What happened?
So Alex was at her Laker game recently, and she saw you there at the Laker game.
Oh, don't tell him that. No, don't tell him that. I didn't know what you were going to tell him.
That's what I was asking.
No.
I don't want to know.
All right, tell him.
And she moved. She moved seats so that you wouldn't see her.
Really?
Alex did.
That hurts.
She did.
See, that's why Bean, he likes to hurt
that's
the downtrodden.
Cruel for cruel's sake.
No, it's not at all. It's just that she's so attracted to you that she was afraid that if she spent any more time with you, she'd have to have you. I think that's what was going on in her head. So I'm saying don't give up. Keep going. Keep working on Alex.
Yeah,
or not. Or how about not?
Forget the British chicks and go for Alex.
It was so bad. I ducked behind a trash can by a bar, and security came over like, "Do you need help?" And I said, "I'm trying to hide from a guy." And the security guy goes, "Okay."
Oh, Alex.
What game is this? Who are they playing?
Mavericks, so I can ooh a little Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, you were at the game. I know. Yeah. She was hiding from you. That's the point.
We just told you that.
All right.
Nick, you got to just keep doing what you're doing, man. Just keep trying. Don't give up, all right?
That's what I do. Just keep on trying.
Yeah. You're on the right path.
It's working out great for you. Thanks, Nick. We're glad you called.
You know, this British girl's like, Cecily, I'm just gagging for a shag. I'll have sex with anyone. I just need a man in my life. Hi, I'm Nick. I have a boyfriend.
That's the conversation. Three sentences.
I still think Alex ought to give Nick a little something.
Of course you do.
I mean, seriously. He's a good dude.
I think you should.
No.
Well, he's not my type.
If Mike says no, then you know it's bad.
We have to learn, no.
Alex doesn't take our sexual suggestions at all.
I know.
She has sex with a black guy. No. She's a whore, but she won't do what we say.
We've never understood that either. Why not? I don't
get it.
Maybe
you guys
can't point and you can just go.
Greatest taste. No, really not.
That's the fun of it.
But Alex, here's what I don't understand. I know we have no time here. But seriously.
You exhaust me through emails, IMs.
You would make Nick's life. Don't you understand that you hold in your power for 5 minutes of your time, which is nothing to you. It's just another random, you know, guy on your bedpost. I mean, for 5 minutes of your time, you make him the happiest little boy in the whole wide world forever. He never forgets you.
He also never lets go of her leg.
Right. And then when he kills me and traps me up and puts me in his trunk,
That's not the kind of guy I am.
Oh,
you know
I
it.
I want to kill you.
Yeah. And he'll never last 5 minutes, by the way.
Is he going to have sex with me three times?
And ruin my future action?
What about Nick paying you? I don't know where they
win a game
from.
Show. What did I win?
That was, that was for me.
Word?
I think I got an email, but I don't know how.
What if Nick pays you? You're all about the cash.
You know what?
What if he pays you?
No, Nick is like Doc. There are just certain people I can't go there even for
how
the money.
Dare you. That's just
because cool. I would be too scarred, and there's no amount of money that can fix that.
And he has so all much right. disposable income.
Yeah. Well, he does person. Spend it on strippers.
I spend
every
all my
Tuesday
money
night.
On strippers. I need a better job.
All right. I want to thank our guest, the beautiful, lovely Rosario Dawson. She's a little mellow today, a little down for Rosario, I thought. But we're still excited about her film. It's called Grindhouse. It opens up everywhere
Did
on
you spend
Friday.
So much time with her? You know what she's like normally?
No, she
no,
was
but I'm just saying we've had her on the show before, and she seemed a little mellow, a little down. That's all I'm saying.
Been saying that because she was talking 1,000 words per minute. I was exhausted. Busted at the end of that interview. Yeah. And I didn't say anything.
She sounded like she was spending too much time with Omar at her concert.
Yeah, exactly. Tomorrow morning we have Hillary Swank on the program.
Yeah, right.
I know, we lied yesterday. Uh-huh. We lied yesterday.
How many times did you expect me to fall for this, Kevin?
Tomorrow, though, she's going to be on the show. Plus, comedian Kevin Nealon will be on the program. We're going to talk about bad jobs. We got Keith Richards on the show tomorrow. I'm sure you know why we have him on the program.
Bye, Dad.
And the Killers and the Muse tickets continue tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kat Corbett is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock on KRQ-FM passing Los Angeles. Silver Sun Pickups, their song is called Lazy Eye. That's on the way. Also 311. New music from a band called Tiger Army. Stick around for that. Sublime, Incubus, Beastie Boys, and more after this on K-Rock.